It's Friday!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 14th day of January 2022. The brand new year is almost a half a month old. It will be a half a month old by the time we reconvene on Monday evening, the 17th day of January 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. This is Friday on the Front Porch, our weekly gathering in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we cuss and discuss the issues remaining from the previous week and whatever else floats our boat, frankly, because we can do that. Hi, I'm Robin. If you'd like to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, run over to headon.live, click on the button at the top of the page, and you will be carried over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday, and some other days, too, sometimes. Yeah. Also, if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room, well, pop on by headon.live, click on Chat Room, and you will be immediately carried into that august gathering, where you will be greeted by early arrivers Kid Mark and Otto DeShot and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and capably moderated by a longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space and become Man Cave, the original Man Cave Sub 1, not Man Cave Sub 2. So all is right with the world, as far as I can tell. Let's see. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different, so there is gratitude to be extended for this 14th day of the month to our 14th day of the month subscribers. And what we mean by that is thanks. Thanks going out to Matt in San Francisco. Thanks going out to Ralphs. Thank you so much to our dear friend Jessica up in Minnesota. I had a note from Jessica toward the end of the program yesterday. I missed a couple of things, a couple of notes. I heard from Kevin in Massachusetts as well, and I was looking at different screens, and sometimes it's on me. Jessica had a lovely note. She said, "Listening to Monday's podcast, and you're talking to Scott and discussing the waterworks while watching Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. And you reminded me of a similar experience, Robin. It was around Halloween, 2016 maybe, and Turner Classic Movies was airing the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'd watched it a number of times before, but this particular viewing affected me a little differently. And had my mother not been sitting in the room with me, she'd never seen it and decided to watch it with me, from Don't Dream It, Just Be It onward, I would have been ugly crying all the way to the credits. I felt my shell crack that night, a physical sensation in my soul. I felt a connection with Dr. Frank Inferter, but I couldn't tell why. Well, a dream a couple of years later, where I was a busty, voluptuous woman in a bikini, white with black polka dots, explained it quite succinctly. So I can empathize with you. I'm sorry. on that, Robin, and sad to say, I've never watched Tu Wong Fu, but it's been on my viewing list. I might just have to watch it this weekend. It looks like it's going to be a snowy and cold one. Might as well snuggle down and fire it up. And thanks for kicking in $5 toward the effort. Jessica said, look to hear from me again on Friday, so we will do that. So anyway, the fundraising goal for finishing the week stands at $800, at $800 even. And hopefully we will wrap that up this evening because, oh, there's all kinds of people that want money from me. To keep internets on, keep phones on, keep lights on, keep, you know, keep the propane flowing, all of that kind of stuff. And we're looking toward a what is apparently going to be a humdinger of a, or a projected humdinger of a winter storm beginning Sunday night into Monday. So I plan on being on air on Monday, but once again, we are talking about the rickety rattle trap hangs together with spitting toilet paper and baling wire, old coal-fried, antiquated power grid run by Appalachian Power. So I'll do my best to be on the air on Monday, but if we no got no juice, we no got no show. So that's really the only thing in the way of a program note of any interest at this particular moment. How about that? Oh, my goodness. Subject line, missing the point. It was on This Weekend 2 years ago, Joey writes, that Jeffrey and I drove down to... Junior hadn't come along yet. That Jeffrey and I drove down to Florence, Alabama to see the artist formerly known as Bob perform as King Henry II in the play The Lion in Winter. Jeffrey and I often reminisce about that wonderful weekend trip as the weather was a balmy 62 degrees on that Saturday that we visited Helen Keller's home, Ivy Green, W.C. Handy's home, the famous Fame recording studios, in which the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland has an entire section dedicated to. The Fame Studios entertained such singing greats as Aretha Franklin, Little Richard, Wilson Pickett, Etta James, Otis Redding, the Osmonds, Jerry Reed, Mac Davis, the Gatlin Brothers, Bobby Gentry, and of course the studios based in Muscle Shoals would not have been complete if they'd not had the country rock group Alabama also recording their amazing studios with the resplendent Tennessee River, the Singing River separating Florence from the other three towns, Tuscumbia, Sheffield, and Muscle Shoals. Remember, Tuscumbia, the little town with scum in the middle. The entire region is a stunning scene. It is. It's a beautiful place. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you like it, Joey. No, no. Here comes Jeffrey, the irrepressible giraffe. Well, what was not a beautiful scene in Alabama took place on this day back in 1963 when George Wallace took over as governor and declared segregation forever. And, of course, right on cue, there's Junior. Someone should have shot that guy. He was terrible. Oh, my God. Junior! Jeffrey! Joey! You're letting the boy stay up too late and play too many violent video games. It's quite obvious. Jeffrey's trying to inform the young lad. Well, Junior, it turns out somebody did shoot Wallace, but Wallace survived, but his declaration of segregation forever fortunately did not. Oh, and speaking of separation, it appears after Alabama's disappointing loss to its rival Georgia Bulldogs on Monday that on Tuesday, the 11th of January, Alabama has seceded from the Union. Let up, okay? We lose one once in a while. Disconcerting signals. Love that call. I hope we see more of it in next year's college football season. But Jeffrey's trying to educate the boy, and that's good. Junior's already studying labor history.
Yes, I'm not surprised to hear Alabama seceded from the Union last Tuesday because Alabama hates unions.
Yes, Alabama did secede from the Union on the 11th of January, but that was January the 11th, 1961, not 2022. Okay, 1861. Jeffrey defends little Junior. Some collective talk.
Yes, Junior is correct. However, since the southern states seceded from the Union, they have forever hated unions.
And hearty congratulations, says Joey, to the Georgia Bulldogs and their NCAA championship victory on Monday night, even though they couldn't win their own conference. Still haven't figured out how that works. As I watch the television camera, that's not because I'm an Alabama fan. I would say that if it was USC versus Amherst. Okay?
If you can't win your freaking conference, how can you be? If you don't eat your pudding, if you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? You, yes, you, stand still with it. Joey continues and says, as I watched the television cameras panning back to the University of Georgia campus located in Athens, where numerous co-eds were congregating in celebration of the big win, I couldn't help but wonder if natives Michael Stipe, lead singer of R.E.M., and the B-52s were not somewhere singing Shiny Happy People. Of course, with Athens only an hour and 45 minutes away from Atlanta, that general region of Georgia can boast of being the region of champions, as the Braves just recently won the World Series last fall. And Jeffrey champions the cause. As far as I'm concerned, the Atlanta baseball team will really only be champions when they discard that disgusting mascot and stop dehumanizing the Native American population, such as the Cherokee, who were marched out of their native land during the Trail of Tears maniacal massacre orchestrated by the genocidal President Andrew Jackson. Good point, Jeffrey. Joey, on the other hand, walks it back. And speaking of Georgia, what an embarrassment is the former Georgia Bulldog Herschel Walker, a current candidate running to take away Raphael Warnock's seat in the Senate. Walker claims he has some sort of a mist that one can walk through or just be exposed to and would kill the coronavirus rather than being vaccinated. And this is the leading candidate to take Raphael Warnock's Senate seat? Unbelievable! Oh, well, we can only hope somehow this does not happen, because what a huge mistake. That was earned. Having Herschel in Congress would be... Oh, Jeffrey just might be a mystic, after all. Good job, Jeffrey. Good job, Joey. And speaking of the South, last Saturday, the 8th of January, would have been Elvis's 87th birthday. Born in Tupelo, Mississippi, and of course Mississippi seceded from the Union a day later back in 1861, January 9th. That would be, I thought you said it was the 11th, that would make it the 12th. Don't confuse me, Joey! Another great musician was also born on January the 8th, and that was David Bowie. David Jones. Speaking of unions, also on January 8th, 1964, LBJ made his first State of the Union speech, in which he declared a war on poverty, and in so doing, implemented time-and-a-half pay for overtime and addressed other issues concerning the workers' rights. Also on the 8th of January in 2002, George Bush introduced his No Child Behind Left Act, or No Child Left Behind Act, which was supposed to help disadvantaged children. In reality, No Child Behind Left Behind did little to help any children, and the act's only real success was its ability to collect data. And Jeffrey with the big finish. Yes, the No Child Left Behind Act was truly mislabeled, as it should have been referred to as No Child Left a Dime. After all of W's tax cuts for the wealthy, there was no money left to fund anything. Great data analysis, Jeffrey. Oh, and by the way, I will add editorially, this will be the first 15th of the month to roll around in, since, like, July. The working parents will not receive the child welfare tax credit check. Let's be clear whose fault that is. Yes, it is the fault of 50 recalcitrant Republicans, but more particularly, it is the fault of Manchinima. Yeah, that two-headed beast comprised of the bodies of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin literally pulled paychecks out of the mailboxes of working Americans all across the country, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out why there are not the billboards, for instance, in places like California and Oregon and New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts, etc., with a big picture of Joe Manchin on them and maybe a picture of a little hungry kid saying, "Why did you take my money, Joe?" Because, you know, progressive people, liberal people, decent people in West Virginia are doing all they can. But you know what we need? We need some great big whopping limousine liberal dollars to really, really put the pressure on Joe. So, how about a billboard right across from his yacht? there. Is it in the Potomac or the Anacostia? I don't know. But so every morning when he gets up and goes walking out to the stern balcony of the yacht and stretches and considers what a lovely day it is to go for a ride in his Maserati, and he's got his coffee mug in his hand, and he looks up and there's that billboard. Why did you take my money away, Joe? Huh. Brother Deacon Asa tells me I'm blipping all over the front, all over the fruited plain, and yet I am not seeing a single bit of buffering over here on the interface here. So maybe it's more of that internet weather stuff. I sure hope we're not going to have that problem this evening. But yeah, this is kind of a talking about a war on poverty. The oligarchs are shooting back. And, well, they literally just took money away from, he particular, Joe Manchin, just took money away from children who desperately need it. So anyway, this has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 14th day of January, 2022, with Jeffrey calling for the Atlanta baseball team to be brave and get rid of their mascot. $25 No Child Left a Dime challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. Thank you, Junior. Doing a great job, Junior. You're coming right along. You're studying the feet of the masters. So there's a $25 challenge on the table, and that means that, well, we can get down to only $750 to go in fundraising if somebody will meet that challenge or somebody's. It would be most helpful if we could. I also have here a note from Lady B, who was so I was so happy to hear from her the other day. Subject line, the white man's and woman's superpowers. I want to start my rant by letting you know this will be the first and only time this year I will write into the program. It isn't you guys' fault. Horn listeners are good people, open-minded and hungry for info that helps them understand the whys and wonders of the world. It's just that my time can be better spent letting go of my anger, and I feel I will live longer if I get to doing it now. That's a beautiful turn of phrase, Lady B. But I wanted to tell some of your listeners about something they never imagined could so profoundly affect the discourse of this country today, and that's their own whiteness. So when I use the term white people without using the word some as a qualifier, it's intentional. Understand that this isn't about you whites as individual per se, because your automatic feeling of indignation only proves my point. This is about the world that your whiteness allows you to inhabit. A world you can't truly self-recognize or even begin to understand. Like the day you came into this world, your skin color and birthright wasn't a choice, and you shouldn't be penalized for that. However, you, by nature, by being white, were born with superpowers. We can quibble about sexuality and gender all we want, but you're missing and distracting from the point. White-appearing men and women blend seamlessly into the American populace. Your struggles as individuals may include incidents and anecdotes of many things, but you've never been an African-American. Your skin color is literally your Captain America shield, and whether you can acknowledge it or not, you take advantage of it every day. No, you can't see through walls, but you can kick down the door of individuals you think have done you wrong and wreak havoc with impunity, regardless if it's the right man, woman, or child. You can open carry weapons into Walmart, and no white person will bat an eyelash, much less summon the police. You can drive around for months with expired tags and know that if you get caught, you'll most likely walk away with a warning. Money could be an issue, but you still get in the car and not break out in a nervous sweat. You know you're not risking your life over such a seemingly trivial oversight. I faithfully renew my tags on time. Yet I remember being pulled over one night despite literally putting my new tags on that morning. And even though he gave me a warning and bullshit excuse about what the computer says versus the evidence before his own eyes, I was shook up enough to cry afterwards. I had an extremely religious aunt tell me only guilty people panic, but then again, she also didn't drive. Yeah. Post-transition, I will add editorially, Lady B, not walking on your wonderful writing, that I know that fear now. I was pulled over for no apparent reason, presenting female. Mercifully, I had gotten my new driver's license that has my female photograph on it, and down there where it says sex, it says F. But I'd done nothing. I was absolutely A-okay. Nothing done wrong. And I was still scared shitless because I didn't know if this was the moment when I died. That happens to trans women, you know. But I completely get your point. White superpowers, Lady B says, allow you to calmly interact with the cop. I wasn't calm. Why are you so nervous? I said, because you just pulled me over. And I'm a woman alone, and you're a man. And although, Lady B says, you may drive away angry, at least you know you will be able to drive away. Ponder that for a moment. Your whiteness shields you from suspicion. Young white males drive state to state with pounds of weed in their cars and rarely get caught. When they do, they're usually levied with a large fine with suspended or no jail time. I knew a guy who did exactly that. I smoked with him. He was never caught on his many Texas runs. You say it's luck. I say it's white boy superpower. Your daughters steal makeup while the Walmart worker follows around a 50-year-old black woman who's wandering the store confused because they move shit around again. God, that's the truth. You move into houses in the lower-income neighborhoods and fill your yard with broken-down cars and trash while the Mexicans and blacks who worked hard to get there try to keep their lawns with the pride of first-generation home ownership. When you're in school, teachers pay more attention to you. They're less likely to expel you for cussing in class or stabbing your classmate in the leg with a pencil. When you get to college, you remember that story, do you? When you get to college, you can write a bullshit paper with a ton of big nonsensical words and still manage to graduate cum laude. You get the best internships, which gives you more connections, which helps you get in your field. Your names are never ethnically screened for on resumes, no matter how many goddamn consonants are in it. When you get the job, you're less likely to offend the sensibilities of all the Karens or the gatekeepers of what is morally and culturally acceptable in the workplace. Because these women resemble your mothers, sisters, and wives. You're never subject to those Karen's tears if she felt offended because she heard you say the word friggin' in the bathroom. Because friggin' apparently sounds too close to the word fucking, and that's just downright crude and completely unacceptable to hear in a call center with 300 employees. Your sons are rarely accused of sexually assaulting a woman, and if so, get a slap on the wrist because appropriate punishment will ruin their college swimming careers. Meanwhile, my nephew lost his basketball scholarship after his black and white teammates ran a train on a white girl at a party he didn't attend. He had witnesses who said he wasn't there, but when you're black, you can't up and hire a lawyer to prove your case. The dean will believe the white girl because she resembles his daughter. And if it ever went to trial, an impartial all-white jury will guarantee you remember and know your place. Your superpowers shield you from an American history of dead relatives who died due to white jealousy, anger, or even boredom. Your Hatfield-McCoy-style musings is nothing compared to having a black relative who was not only lynched for having nicer shoes than a white man, his penis was cut off and sold off as a souvenir for a grand total of $5. And for you pedants out there making wealth comparisons between then and now, that isn't the fucking point. A man, son, father, husband, preacher, teacher was killed and emasculated because someone white, envied his shoes. Your superpowers allow you to shoot, lynch, and burn black men and women, and yet you're never punished and die peacefully in your bed, surrounded by weeping family and friends. Your grandkids inherit and inhabit land your dad or your grandfather blatantly stole. Your ancestors most likely didn't find it on their own or even buy it. That land was most likely owned by Native Americans, 90% of whom were wiped out by colonization for centuries, and most likely farmed by slaves, very few of whose ancestors ever got a chance to work on it as their own. You can trace your ancestry and cultural traditions to the very town in Europe your family hailed from. You take pride in being able to claim that at one point in history your ancestors were oppressed too. Miss me with that bullshit. I was followed around Walmart yesterday. How many Irish are not welcome here signs have you encountered today? You've never lived in fear of offending any man, no matter how powerful they are, and paying for it with your life. Let me repeat that last one. You have never lived in fear of offending any man, no matter how powerful they are, and paying for it with your life. White men and women invaded the capital of the United States of America on January 6, 2021, and hardly anyone with any semblance of power did or can do shit about it. You've arrested a handful of peons, but according to the laws you created, it'll take years to find enough specific evidence to punish the ones who initiated it. Facebook posts, cell phone video, and television cameras be damned. As far as the peons who were caught, the ones who broke windows, desks, chairs, stole laptops, beat cops, and pissed and shit on the floors of the hallowed halls of Congress, the friggin' seat of democracy? They're getting less time in jail, if they go at all, than a brother who sold a quarter ounce of weed on a street corner. They walked away alive, as opposed to George Floyd, who was suffocated to death for selling Lucy's in front of a convenience store. Fuck Derek Chauvin's jail sentence. He killed a man with malice and forethought, and probably would have gotten away with it if he had not been caught on film. He praised the use of technology and credited it for the proper administration of justice. Meanwhile, us blacks are horrified that you needed the video, despite the words of the tens of witnesses around it. Superpowers. The visible, invisible cloak of whiteness. During the riot insurrection, or as Fox News calls it, peaceful protests, the very riot that sent the Speaker of the House and Vice President into hiding, not a single white cop fired their weapons. It was a brother who shot Ashley Babbitt. Hundreds of white people who were vocally and physically threatening the lives of cops got to go home to dinner that night. People who were beating cops senseless with fire extinguishers, yet nary a weapon was drawn. None of your incidents and anecdotes about being oppressed as white Americans will ever top that. Ever. So how's this possible? How can people who do wrong things suffer little to no punishment? Are they not saying, doing offensive things? Are they not breaking law? Are the police not fearful for their lives when a man runs directly at them with a flagpole? White superpowers are better than anything the X-Men comic writers could ever dream of. You're invisible to police. You can break down the doors and walls of the innocent and administer your form of justice indiscriminately. You can shoot an innocent black man in cold blood in the middle of the goddamn day, film it, show it to your friends, and not even appear on the cops' radar for 3 months. You can beat and kill black people and be hailed as fucking heroes in your community. You're invincible. You're supermen, superwomen. I wanted to write about how disgusted I was with the Supreme Court decision about not mandating vaccines. How a group of people who don't even wash their own clothes gets to interpret the law any goddamned way they please. How one of them date raped and drank his way through college and still became a Supreme Court justice, proper vetting be damned. But then I remembered that some white folks have superpowers. They can shield themselves from being infected during a pandemic while forcing those around them to get sick, taking measures to protect them. It's the height of hypocrisy, and no one can do a damn thing about it. They can also hold hostage the policies of a democratically elected president and the progress of 48 states just to line their own pockets. Joe Manchin and that psychopathic thrift store Barbie bitch Kirsten Sinema. Ooh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt, Lady B, but that was quality. Joe Manchin and that psychopathic thrift store Barbie bitch Kirsten Sinema have us all by the short hairs because they have white people superpowers. There ain't a damn thing we can do about it. I appreciate your show, says Lady B. Talking about it's a good start, but needing to take a shit, if you don't do anything about it, you end up soiling yourself and causing discomfort for others. White superpowers are comprised of arrogance, mendacity, and willful ignorance. It's a malicious obliviousness, especially when you can use it to make positive and progressive change. You have the power to do what millions of minorities can't do without your help. Yet you throw up your hands in lazy mock despair. A handful of whites almost overthrew our government, yet 100 million more whites say they can do nothing about it because both sides are bad. History will again show just how this unique exercise in complacency helped destroy this new republic. We had the power to change, but because many in our society believe too strongly in their own hubris, we destroyed our own democracy. Enjoy your flight, Superman, Superwomen. You're wearing the capes. Be careful you don't catch them on something. They could and will be torn to shreds by your own hands. Dadgum. Lady B, that's something. That's profound. That's amazing. And thank you for the gut check. Thank you. Again, thank you. So, here in about a half an hour, we will gather together in the old holler tree. That is so profound, I'm just sort of gobsmacked. By what Lady B wrote there. Maybe I'm going to go back and reread. You might want to go back and re-listen. Thank you again, Lady B. I hope it's not the only thing you write all year, but if it is, you certainly put it out of the park. Oh, God. It's going to be one of those evenings. Thanks for letting me know, Randy Radar. There was a three-second zap to the stream. Seeing absolutely nothing here. I don't know what's going on. But it certainly is frustrating. One of the things I wanted to do with the program this evening, because everything has been so serious, so brutal, I wanted to take a moment as we get the conversation started just to offer up a big hi howdy to a newly minted member of the Virginia House of Delegates over in the Old Dominion. Of course, we remember that government shifted and Democrats lost the governor's mansion. I think they lost the House, too. Because of a great deal of hooting and grunting, because in line with what Lady B wrote, nothing rouses those white superpowers quite like being reminded of how wickedly they have been used in America's past. And so we know, because, well, at least we know in this community, we know how much carrying on there's been over CRT. That's right, the Republican War on Cathode Ray Tube Monitors. Or, no, Critical Race Theory, sorry. Virginia was no different. They've gone hog ass wild, the Republicans had. I've mentioned time and time again until we can't think about Virginia without thinking about the fact that the Old Dominion there, the Republicans rode to power on the backs of right wing hate groups who helped fund people like Glenn Youngkin as he became governor, or was elected governor. Yeah, there was a lot of hate went into that. And they used Orwellian language like parental choice. We've got to have some parental choice here. And so one neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of Delegate Wren Williams said, if I'm elected, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce a bill banning critical race theory. Now, bear in mind, newly elected Republican delegate Wren Williams is a lawyer and knows damn good and well that critical race theory is primarily just an honest teaching of American history. Which, by the way, not to beat the issue to death, I don't think it generally only happens in graduate school. Okay? Because it's a lot to wrap your head around, even in high school, or undergrad, apparently. But newly minted Delegate Wren Williams, and she must be... I accidentally misgendered them. Wren Williams is a dude. Wren Williams is apparently a white dude. And he followed through on his promise to make his first legislative act an introduction of a bill to ban critical race theory, lest little white children in Virginia find out what their white ancestors did most viciously and evilly. He wants to eliminate divisive concepts from instruction in the elementary and secondary school, public schools. Now, on the other hand, in the private schools, they can teach whatever they want to, as long as it's not critical race theory and there's not a lot of worries that they will in the Old Dominion. And so he's introduced House Bill 781. Yes. And it's got some pretty high-toned, highfalutin language in it, saying that public elementary and secondary school students will learn about the founding documents of the new 90 states of America. That those public elementary and secondary school students will, by God, learn about the Declaration of Independence, the new 90 states constitution, it's in the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, including number 10 and number 51, and they'll read a little bit from that thing that Alexis D. Tocqueville writ called Democracy in America. All laudable goals, most of which have been taught for quite some time in various schools across the new 90 states. Yeah, but they wanted to make, but Delegate Wren Williams wanted to make sure that they understood one thing in particular, that public elementary and secondary school students there in the Old Dominion will learn about the first debate between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The first debate, not the second debate between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass.
Well, you know, you remember from a few years back, you remember when the God Emperor Nitwit Nero said, I wanted to give a shout out to Frederick Douglass because a lot of people are finding out, a lot of more people are finding out about him.
We can at least enjoy a modest chuckle over this. It was 1858 in Illinois when incumbent senator, a Democrat named Douglass, debated his Republican challenger, Abraham Lincoln. One of the primary topics of that debate, and it went on for a while. As long, of course, as you understand that it was Stephen Douglas and not Frederick. You know, all them Douglases. Mr. Douglas! Right. No, Delegate Wren Williams wants Virginia school students to learn about a debate that never, ever, ever happened. Now, in the debate between Stephen A. Douglas and Abraham Lincoln, Douglas would go on to win the election. The primary topic was, well, on the Stephen A. Douglas side, he was saying, you know, we need to make sure we got more slave states in the American territories. And Abraham Lincoln was on the, no, we've got enough slave states side. He was certainly by no means an abolitionist at that point. And this has caused no small amount of embarrassment for newly minted maggot Delegate Wren Williams. I wonder if Wren got... got mail addressed to Miss Wren Williams. I got a lot of mail when I was applying to colleges and stuff. And back then, I got a lot of mail addressed to Miss Robin. Well, never mind. Maybe that's something that only happens to trans girls. In true Republican partake personal responsibility fashion, Delegate Wren Williams, a lawyer, Well, he made sure that somebody else fell on their sword. Now, it's his bill. And Republicans love nothing more than barking and hooting and grunting and howling about personal responsibility. It's his bill. It came to his desk one last time before he filed it with the clerk of the House of Delegates, or whatever that official is. But nonetheless, he let the Division of Legislative Services fall on their sword for him. It was inserted during the drafting process. Personal responsibility taker, lawyer Wren Williams, maggot, said of course, I'm frustrated this happened. I have a very high standard for my office and my service to my constituents and the Commonwealth. But I realize that mistakes happen. I trust this was an honest mistake, and I don't hold it against Legislative Services. The good news here is that this bill is getting the attention it deserves. This is groundbreaking legislation for Virginia's educational system that is aimed at finally accomplishing what Martin Luther King envisioned. Oh, dear God. It's that time of year, and I hope you will not hold this against me for saying this, but every year, about this time, well, we talk about the Santa Clausization of Martin Luther King Jr., and we talk in particular about the fact that there will be oodles and oodles and oodles of Republicans out there over the course of this weekend who will demonstrate the fact that the only thing they know that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. ever said was that a man should be judged upon the content of his character and not the color of his skin. Not to put too fine a point on it, but Dr. King was not suggesting that there were a lot of people out there who were all pink who were being judged by the color of their skin. No, not even. So, over the course of this weekend, we're going to be subjected to Republican after Republican after Republican talk. You know, Dr. King, content of his character, not the color of his skin, on and on and on and on and on. In point of fact, the issue has already been addressed. Over at the Root, Tracy sent this along to me. Over at the Root, Marjani Rawls wrote, "If you're a Republican lawmaker planning to post an MLK quote on Monday, just don't." It led me to wonder, and it's kind of a metric question. I don't mean versus like imperial pints and shit like that. I'm wondering whether Joe Manchin's office will have the brass to even mention the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday holiday. Marjani Rawls wrote, "When I was a kid, I remember the first time I learned about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, the Disneyland version. There were slight mentions of protests and arrests. However, my teachers gave the most significant amount of time to King's I Have a Dream speech that he gave in 1963 in Washington, D.C., and his principles of nonviolence. We constantly emphasized one quote, 'I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.'" See, he wasn't saying anything about white folks being judged, but no. But it's been co-opted. Says Johnny Rawls, "We jumped right to his assassination in 1968, the end. But we knew everything about the American Revolution, the Boston Tea Party, and how George Washington crossed the Potomac River with his powdered wig intact." So he says, on MLK Day Monday, There will be a lot of Republican lawmakers and congressional representatives posting the same variation of quotes. It's either from the one I mentioned or from his Strength to Love sermon in 1963. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And it will be from the same cast of people actively working against voting rights legislation across the country, acting as though January 6th is no big deal and further diluting what we learn with this critical race theory movement. So I'll ask him for this holiday and others, just skip it. Take the day off. Tell your intern to go ahead and delete that scheduled post. Maybe there's a big WhatsApp chat you're all in, and you pick up the quote to post, put those notifications on silent. Or better yet, here's a few you might want to use. Letter from Birmingham Jail. For years now, I've learned the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see with one of our distinguished jurists that justice too long delayed is justice denied. Or from beyond Vietnam, 1967, the world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. How prophetic. Or from where do we go from here, 1967, we must see now that the evils of racism, economic exploitation, and militarism are all tied together, and you can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other. And closing says, so I say this, the facade isn't worth it. We see right through it. You might be drafting this post as you read this, but as Jay-Z once said on Takeover, we don't believe you. You need more people. Yeah, and then there's also what I refer to as the Santa Clausization of Dr. King, in which, well, in 500 years' time or so, in the middle of January, about 3 weeks after Christmas, good little children will be visited by Dr. King, who will carry a sack of nonviolent toys for those aforementioned good little girls and boys. And he'll make a list and he'll check it twice, and he's going to find out who's been naughty or nice. But he will judge those good little boys and girls not by the color of their skin, but upon the content of their character. This is not a matter of disrespect. This is a matter of understanding the nature of American capitalism. It is an absolute fact that the Dr. King holiday only came into existence because the people who desperately wanted it, badly wanted it, understood how badly it was needed, were able to get buy-in from capitalist America when they said, listen, it'll always be a Monday holiday. You can use it like President's Day. You can sell mattresses and sheets and cars and laundry detergent and couches and washing machines. And you can do it all on the back of Dr. King. Well, yeah, back to Wren. Delegate Wren Williams, lawyer, who said, this bill is getting the attention it deserves. This is groundbreaking legislation for Virginia's education system that is aimed at finally accomplishing what Martin Luther King Jr. envisioned, a generation of Americans who see each other not based on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. The indoctrination of our children in critical race theory is appalling and will prove fatal to our nation. Now, this was back last summer when he said it would be the first bill he introduced. We should be teaching our students that they are created equal and to understand the past and present in a way that fosters grace and unity, not hatred and division, and makes little white children remember how awful that their grandpappies and their grandmammies and their great-grandpappies and the great-grandmammies and the great-great-grandpappies and the great-great-grandmammies and the great-great-great-grandpappies and the great-great-great-great-great-grandmammies were. Can't be doing that. I know. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm curious, how exactly does one ban something that does not exist? I guess if you can't prove it ever existed, you've succeeded. Damn, those Republicans are some crafty sumbitches. They are. And you know what? They are. If you will forgive me, if you will afford me the leeway, I have further proof of their craftiness. Because I have before me the text of a brand new bill. Yep. Introduced by the Republican supermajority. And in West Virginia. It's another one of those bills that solves problems that don't exist. It's a new criminal law. Article 2, Crimes Against the Person. Section 61231, Perception of Minors' Sex, Prohibited Practice, Violation as a Felony. So it's a felony for any doctor to perform the following surgeries on a minor. Okay? On a minor. Not a consenting adult. It shall be a felony to perform the following surgeries: castration, vasectomy, hysterectomy, oophorectomy, metoidoplasty, orchiectomy, penectomy, phalloplasty, and vaginoplasty. 2. Performing a mastectomy. 3. Prescribing, dispensing, administering, or otherwise supplying the following medications. A. Puberty-blocking medication to stop normal puberty. B. Superphysiologic doses of testosterone to females. C. Superphysiologic doses of estrogen to males. Or D. Removing any otherwise healthy or non-diseased body part or tissue. As Ron and Raleigh said, it's curious to see how one bans something that doesn't exist. There are precisely zero mastectomies, vaginoplasties, phalloplasties, penectomies, orchiectomies, metioidoplasties, oophorectomies, hysterectomies, vasectomies, and castrations being performed on minors in the state of West Virginia, or, for that matter, any other state in the United States of America. Period. End of sentence. It is simply not a problem. But it's when they get down to the prescribing, dispensing, administering, or otherwise supplying puberty-blocking medication to stop normal puberty. Well, that word puberty, the word normal's a wee bit vague. We all understand that normal is a setting on a dryer. But that's what it is. It is an attempt to force little trans kids to be converted, conversion therapy, to cis. That's all. Solving a problem that doesn't exist. But they do seem to be intent, at least in this regard, on creating a problem. The problem they seek to create is more suicide. They would like for trans children to just disappear. Die by their own hand if necessary. Probably should have done a trigger warning there. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but Kristi Noem, the one-woman super-spreader governor of South Dakotistan, ran an ad in the last 24 hours, a national ad for the governor of South Dakota. No one except South Dakotans can vote for the governor of South Dakota. She's up for re-election. But she ran a national ad saying, in South Dakota, only females can participate in female athletics. Because I, Kristi Noem, have made that happen. Getting her ass suit off. it's certain, you know, what she's done is certainly contrary to things like the International Olympic Committee or the NCAA. By the way, the Christy Gnomes of the world and the various other transphobes have been having a hissy. And again, I don't bring this up because me, I bring, as I've said a million times before, I bring these stories up because they are the issues the right wing chooses to run on and to fundraise on. And I'm sure she's Christy Gnome has raised a blue bajillion dollars since her ad ran, I guess, last night on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. It's a hell of a war chest she's got to be able to run those kinds of ads. But it also indicates that she has goals outside of South Dakota. Somebody, you know, what were we talking about the other night? Never believe your own PR. Somebody's convinced her that she's got presidential timber. And maybe she does. Because maybe by 2024, it'll be so goddamned hard for anybody who's not a Republican to cast a vote. Thank you, Joe Manchin. Thank you, Kyrsten Sinema. That she'll win in a walk-off. Yeah. But again, a problem in search of a solution, but they've been hooting and grunting about a swimmer, I think at Penn, who started out swimming on the men's team, but then transitioned, and not to win swim meets, but because she's a swimmer, and she's been doing some record setting. On the other hand, however, in the last week, she went a swimming competitively again, and got her ass handed to her by a cis girl. She just swum the hell out of her. And not a word from the TERFs and the transphobes about the fact that a cis woman had just beaten the stuffing out of a trans girl in the swimming pool. Because, well, of course, it doesn't fit the narrative. And so there's that. But, well, for trans women like me, we have broad shoulders, and they are certainly broad enough to carry the weight of the fundraising of grifty hate organizations like the Family Research Council, you know, headed up by Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, who literally got his first email list for the Family Research Council by buying it from the Klan. Yeah, he bought his email list from David Duke back in the day. So the Family Research Council, which talks about its Christian values, let's remember, was founded with its original membership being Klansmen, Klanswomen, Klan sympathizer, Klan adjacent. And yet they bark and grunt and squeal and hoot and cry great big crocodile tears if anybody calls the Family Research Council a hate group, when it is literally the very essence of who they are. And they've become a legislative chop shop for all of these anti-trans bills that are proliferating like toxic mushrooms after a spring rain all over the Confederacy and some other states. But I don't want to belabor the point. Stephen New York says this, going back to Delegate Wren Warren, this Cheese Whiz McCracker Esquires and his other Cheez-Its who bastardized Dr. King with the one line they know is their lynching of Dr. King, the same way these people crucify Jesus every time they allude to him while ignoring any of the Beatitudes or the Matthew 25 teachings. Yeah. No, I don't see. Yeah. It'll be interesting, say, between now and Tuesday. I hope somebody is enterprising enough to actually collect the commemorating tweets of the Martin Luther King Jr. birthday holiday from every one of the 50 Republicans in the Senate. Kevin McCarthy, being the minority leader in the House, he'll have to put one out there. That's going to be a real laugh riot. I don't know. Maybe Nitwit Nero in one of those little fits that he throws daily. Maybe he'll issue a Dr. King holiday tweet. Just a little bit ago, their god emperor said,
"Rumors are that Doug Ducey, the weak rhino governor from Arizona, is being pushed by old crow Mitch McConnell to run for the U.S. Senate. He'll never have my endorsement or the support of Maggot Nation."
Such a petty little vandal. His Dr. King Day tweet should be for the ages. And news out that Representative John Katko of New York, who was one of the Republicans who voted to impeach Nitwit Nero, has announced that he's going to spend more time with his family. "My conscience, principles, and commitment to do what's right have guided every decision I've made as a member of Congress." I hardly think so. "And they guide my decision today. It's how I've been able to unite people to solve problems and how I was rewarded with resounding victories in every single campaign for Congress." He's been there since 2014 and was likely going to be... because of redistricting in New York, he was going to be forced into a head-to-head to keep his seat, and just, it ain't worth it. He's one of the ones who got the sharp and pointy things in his back from Kevin McCarthy. Originally, he was tapped by Kevin McCarthy to negotiate the structure of the bipartisan committee to investigate January 6th. He did his job. He was the ranking minority member on the House Homeland Security Committee. He reached an agreement with his Democratic opposite. And then, he got the sharp and pointies right betwixt the ribs. And so Nitwit Nero just earlier today issued another one of his little rage lines.
"Great news, another one bites the dust. Katko from upstate New York is gone."
You know, I see these things and they do. They kind of make me sick. He's such a toxic little child. Subject line, conservative problem solving. Matt in San Francisco says, "Why is it when conservatives put forth problem solving bills, people end up dead? I don't know what their unwritten death toll is. It seems to be very high, though." Yeah, it is. I wonder if any of these think tanks that are so data driven and are so good at crunching numbers, I wonder if maybe they can start keeping a rolling death toll of people that were killed by those six wild-eyed maniacs from the Federalist Society with their ruling yesterday in the Supreme Court. Might be helpful. Not that anybody on our side is going to message real hard on it or make them wear it like an albatross around their neck or a millstone. Christy Nome, Stephen, New York, says, "Maybe she can run on Kirsten Sinema's ticket." God, yeah, I know. Nitwit Nero and MLK. Lee in New York says, terrible typist will probably praise KLM. Great airline.
Great airline. We've reached the day where all passengers are judged by the class of their ticket.
Okay, that's quality, Lee. KLM. Yeah. Well, there I am. I've filibobstered away the first hour and 5 minutes of the program. And it's time that we get the Friday on the Front Porch conversation started. I'm Sparky, if you would please be so kind to connect, I would appreciate it. Gosh, I wish the story about Wren Williams would have been funnier, but, well, Frederick Douglass. See, I don't believe that it was actually Legislative Services' fault, unless there's a maggot in Legislative Services. I think, when you consider the Frederick Douglass comment and you consider that Delegate Wren Williams is a bona fide, dyed in the wool maggot, well, it becomes a little bit difficult to credit that somebody whose job is to get bill language right would somehow manage to screw it up. Yeah. Oh, let's. Oh, dear God, we've started something. KLM Day. Stephen New York says, I love Dutch Covfefe. What am I going to do with y'all? That was good. Okay. There's a grudging cowbell for Dutch Covfefe. Oh, dear, dear Matt, Steve adds, GOP solutions are supposed to kill people. Remember what Alan Grayson said? Yep. What was it? The Republican health care plan is don't get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly. Yeah. So it is time to start the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. Let's run over and check in out in the man cave. Hey, Sparky.
I'm not in the man cave. I'm in the house.
Oh, you quit the man cave?
I was in the man cave.
Just all kinds. Just all kinds of space folding going on.
You didn't see my message. I was out there and I came in the house, which we thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I'm time zones and stuff. I'm easily confused.
Well, it's been nice out there, so I've been out there every day. I've been doing my pruning already.
Really? That time of year already?
Well, yeah. Remember I told you our winters are short?
I didn't realize they were this short. It's over!
Well, it feels like it's coming to an end. We hit 70 and all the trees start blooming, and then I know it's over. And then we'll get a windstorm or something. It'll screw up all the almond crops or something.
You know, it was interesting. I read, I'm trying to think where I saw this earlier today. I thought of you because I read an account of a woman who was given, and she was dead broke. She was one of those tough, flinty Mainers. And her doctor gave her 2 years to live. And she and said, you need to move into the county charity home and live out your remaining days in peace and quiet. And she said, screw that. Bought a used racehorse. I kid you not. And this was in the 50s. And set out with her horse and her trusty dog. And said that she was going to fulfill a dream of her mother's and see the Pacific Ocean. And by God, she did it. She rode all the way to all the way across country, on the shoulders of the newfangled interstate system and whatnot. And eventually, I mean, she did see the Pacific Ocean. I know this much of that kind of that geography there, but eventually she wound up in Redding.
In the 50s?
Yeah, 1950s.
Okay. That's when Redding was still a small town. They hadn't boomed yet.
And she, instead of dying in 2 years, she lived another 24. Surprised nobody's made a movie out of that yet.
Well, moving to Redding in that time period might have helped her.
That was a heck of a horse ride all the way across the country, though.
Yeah.
But, no, she eventually wound up going back to Maine and lived with a friend. And, like I said, lived on for like 24 more years.
Oh, I thought she lived on in Redding.
No. She went back across the country.
On a horseback.
I don't know if the horseback part was the return trip. But I was a little perplexed as to why, you know. I mean, if you wind up in Redding, you wind up in Redding, but you're still a little bit of a poke from the Pacific Ocean, aren't you?
Yeah, 4-hour drive.
How many, Roger?
About 140.
Okay, so.
Yeah, but to drive over 299, it can be like 4 hours.
But I just thought that was an interesting little piece of trivia to have pop up.
Well, I don't have any trivia for you.
No, that's
but good news is there might be a pot dispensary in Red Bluff come next month in March.
Oh, that'll be cool. Is it another company expanding in, or is this going to be an all new operation?
Don't know yet. The ordinance will go into effect in March, so we'll see what happens. They're after big money, Bob. I mean, Robin.
Oh, it is big money. Meanwhile, in West Virginia, we still can't quite get our shit together and get our lone little dispensaries open. I applied for my card a year ago. Never heard another word. Frustrating.
Well, they pass a law. Medical marijuana or just...
Oh, yeah, they passed a medical marijuana law, and they finally got around to sorting out the money, and then just, well, Baptists.
Didn't issue any licenses there.
Yeah, there's a rumor that somebody's been licensed, like, in Morgantown and Huntington, but it's really hard to...
The city shut them down.
I don't know. It's the administrative bullshit of getting people their cards, as far as I can tell.
Fuck that card shit. Just open it up and make it legal and anybody recreational, and anybody can walk in and buy.
Yeah, all you got to do is show them your driver's license.
And that's for age.
Well, that's not the way Queen and Dragons works. They have to register everybody.
Well, Oregon's a little different. You just walk in, and if you look over 21, no biggie.
Oh, I was thinking about doing a little cooking this weekend, and grabbed a bottle of red wine. got carded today.
Were you in a Dollar General?
No, Wally World.
Well, back when I was still smoking and living in California, when I went into the local gas station mini-mart number, they had to ask for my ID because some boss said you have to ask for an ID for every cigarette sales. And I got apologized to virtually every time, but it was, you know, the cameras are up there, and if we put a pack of cigarettes across the counter and didn't check for the ID, we get in trouble. Doesn't matter how far over the age of 18 or 21, whatever the age is now in California. But I had to show a driver's license to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, it was a little moment of gender euphoria for me because the Walmart clerk walked up and said, sorry, ma'am, I card everyone. I'm like, here you go. And she apologized again.
Here in California, there's a thing, there's a prompt on the register. Once you ring up a liquor item, you have to enter a birth date. Complete the sale.
Yeah, but an old fart like you or me, they could walk in and put in any date they want.
Well, I order my beer and get it delivered, and you got to put in your birth date before you can finish the delivery thing online.
Well, I'm not that paranoid. I still go to Costco. And when I have the beer there, they don't ask for an ID, but I notice them typing in a birth date.
That's all they do at Dollar General. They just look at my birthday.
Well, to get it down in the weeds here a little bit, you talked about cathode ray tubes earlier tonight, Robin.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I did a little bit of research, and it turns out the vagrancy law in Virginia was instituted in 1866.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
And the reason for I mean, there were some other ones earlier, but the real important one came in 1866. And the problem was that there were a whole lot of what they called freedmen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were wandering around looking for work, and they were willing to work for a little bit less than some of the other folk that lived in Virginia were willing to work for. And so they instituted this law that if you were unemployed and wandering around, you were a vagrant, and you could be rounded up and then farmed out for 3 months. And that the government, the county government, would find your employer, and theoretically all the money went to you. But if you ran away from the employment that was found, you could be recaptured, and then you would work with a ball and chain, and any money that was obtained would be paid to the county, but not go to you.
Right, thereby ensuring that you never paid your debt to society. Curiously enough, Mississippi is still doing the very same thing.
Well, but you just don't understand that. How come the law was in 1866 and all the freed slaves were running around, and that's why they wrote the law? And that is what critical race theory is about. It is not about teaching that blacks have been screwed over forever, which they have, or that whites are made to look bad. It is simply
history,
placing a value and looking at why laws were in place and dependent upon race having a lot to do with it, and see the fact of race. Some of the white Virginians that railed against it were saying, this is doing nothing but reinstituting slavery by a different form. And it still got passed. And that's history.
And it is history that they will not be teaching in Virginia if this bill passes.
Correct.
Which, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, another weighty question. Technically, is the preamble part of the Constitution, or is it simply an introductory statement that is not part of the Constitution?
According to Fat Dead Tony Scalia, it's just a flourish. The same with the clause that opens the Second Amendment. It doesn't really have any meaning. It's like drawing a doodle under your signature. It's there, but it doesn't mean anything.
But the preamble not being a part of the Constitution goes back a fairly long way.
Well, the reason I asked the question is I was taught that it was a part of the Constitution, and this comes about over a discussion of yesterday's Supreme Court case. And there's a clause in, we the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union, to ordain and establish this Constitution, but it has to do with the health and welfare of the populace. I forget the exact quote there, but it's there. And it would seem to me that if the preamble is a part of the Constitution and the health and welfare is in it, then the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, as a constitutionally created entity, is responsible for the health and welfare, and it is not it's on the welfare side, that it's not treatment of medicine, which is how sort of the way the Supreme Court carved it out, that OSHA didn't have anything to do with health care. But to me, health care is what you get after you get COVID, and providing a safe workplace, which was OSHA's mandate, is the vaccination. And so there is a real flaw in the logic of the Supreme Court, as which was pointed out by the dissent.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. And the reason it doesn't matter is two reasons. Number one, Article 1, Section 8 says, it actually mentions, Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, blah, 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 and provide for the common defense and general welfare. You don't need the preamble.
Yeah, the preamble is basically, the preamble is essentially a mission statement. But what happened, how the mission statement is accomplished, is down in the minutia past the executive summary.
And in all honesty, Robin, I didn't read the decision. I don't think it has anything to do with the general welfare, because OSHA is not a general welfare thing.
OSHA is specifically for the safety and health of working people.
Yeah, but it's the regulation of commerce. That's all it is. We want to make it more complicated than it is. Congress has a power to regulate commerce. How is that not regulating commerce?
Well, the Commerce Clause is probably, you know very well, Steve, the Commerce Clause is probably put to use more often than just about any other clause in the Constitution. You can do a lot with the Commerce Clause.
That was part of the basis for the Civil Rights Acts of 64. In fact, that's probably, quote-unquote, more of a basis than the 14th Amendment or anything like that, because it applies to private companies.
Right, the ability to regulate commerce regulate particularly interstate commerce.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the name of the... one of the very first cases that came out of that case, that came out of that law, was the restaurant down there in, it was a barbecue restaurant. I don't remember the name of it, but that's where it came out of, because the argument was, well, we're a restaurant in such and such city, county, state, whatever it was, and that's who our customers are. And part of the argument was, but you're along a highway. and people from all over the states around there, come and go. I mean, the effect, to be very frank, and particularly in the day and age in which we live, there really is no such thing as intrastate commerce. It doesn't exist at this point. I mean, nothing is exclusively within a state. Nothing. I don't care what you are.
No, because some aspect of what you do is going to come from somewhere else.
And because of the internet, you might think you're a small mom and pop who happens to do business with Grubhub, but because Grubhub is over the internet, and the internet by its very definition must be interstate, because there's no right. Internet only in my little town here.
There's no Gotham Net?
Yeah, no. No Robin Net. you don't have an interwebs. You don't have a big dump truck there in your
it's not a big truck.
At the mansion.
It's a series of tubes.
Series of tubes. You know what? Well, that's I'm sorry.
I don't know if the law is still the same, but I know when I was driving moving van and I was running almost exclusively California, I filed a grievance, well, not through a union, but I filed a claim with the California Department when I was running California, and the decision was that you're driving a truck that is licensed for 11 Western states and could therefore engage in interstate commerce at any time. And as such, because interstate truck driving is not covered by the 40-hour overtime rules and regulations, you're not qualified to collect overtime while working, even if your run is strictly in-state and you've never left the state. The possibility of you being dispatched out of state exists, therefore you do not qualify for overtime.
Wow.
No, that has less, that has, that's probably, it does, that has nothing to do with state or federal law. That probably has to do with that type of work was exempt under the Fair Labor Standards Act. I mean, just
because I had the potential to engage in interstate commerce.
But
if I had been strictly intrastate,
I would have been in interstate commerce. I guarantee you were. That's not the issue.
I was just bringing up your thing that nothing is strictly intrastate. It's all interstate. But if my vehicle had been licensed only to operate in California, I would have been for the overtime. But since my vehicle was licensed for interstate, it shifted to the federal side, and the federal side said that in truck drivers engaged in interstate commerce are not entitled to overtime.
But you are entitled to overtime under federal law.
We're not.
You are. That's in the Fair Labor Standards Act.
As I said, I don't know whether the laws exist the same way today. This is back in 1978 to 1983.
Yeah, no, there was another reason. There's another reason there. It has nothing to do with interstate versus intrastate, because the Fair Labor Standards Act has had time and a half since it was passed. And even if you were only licensed in California, that's still interstate commerce, because I guarantee you were hauling goods that came from somewhere else.
I was hauling goods that came out of a house or an apartment and delivering them to another house or apartment in the state of California.
I guarantee you they were not only manufactured, grown within California.
I was hauling people's personal belongings.
I understand. They were also on roads, right?
Yeah.
Federal roads. That's interstate commerce.
driving from Los Angeles to Reading on Interstate 5 is interstate commerce?
Yes.
How the hell can that be?
Because they're roads, and the federal government pays for those roads, and those roads are, by definition, interstate.
Yeah, that's why you call them an interstate, Roger.
Well, I understand why you call them an interstate, and even Hawaii has interstate roads, but it's kind of hard to, in a car,
I'll bet they don't. Hawaii probably might have federal roads, but they don't have interstate.
Wrong.
No, right.
They have highways that are labeled interstate
with the
highways.
Blue sign, right? Yeah, I think they do. Take a look at the atlas.
It's not that important. The bottom line is
because you can get on that road, you can drive it to a dock, get in a boat, cross the Pacific, get on another interstate.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as interstate commerce. That's what it boils down to. It doesn't exist. It hasn't existed for probably 150 years. What was that very first case, Robin? The steamboat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do. And now, how is it that I can? How is it that I've got a brain cell that still retains "Oh, we're the boys of the chorus," but I don't have the name of that case?
McCulloch versus Maryland. I think we share that brain cell, by the way. That's our law school brain cell. Everyone has the same brain cell. We just rent it. We just, you know, the more people there are,
the power to tax is the power to destroy.
Yes. Yep. I do have to ask a question I always think about this is very strange with when it comes to the Supreme Court and, you know, whether or not we're a democracy and whether, first of all, they never intended for us to be a democracy, but that's
no, Madison said, whatever we wind up coming up with, we'll call it a democracy.
And all you have to do is look in the where did the power come from? You had the presidency that the people did not directly elect. The states did, and the states could determine how they chose the electors. The Senate, and the only person who appointed the judges was the president, who was not who the states didn't elect, and the people ratified the judges was the Senate, which originally the people didn't elect, that the states appointed however they wanted to. So you had one half a branch of government that the people elected. Everything else, the power to do so didn't come from the people. And what sucks is the electors don't, you know, you don't, we don't, none of us have a right to vote in a presidential election. That's the thing, you know, people make this big deal about, and I'm not saying I like it, but this thing about, well, these legislatures are saying they, if they want to take the vote away from the people, they're doing that. And that shouldn't, it's not right and legal. Well, it's perfectly legal. It sucks, but it's perfectly legal.
Well, luckily, the electors in the last election got it right, and not those fake ones that they're talking about now.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying
it should be gone after and charged with something.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, if any state wanted to say it's completely constitutional to say we don't like the vote, so the state legislature is going to choose them.
Right, and that's the
we're going to flip a coin, or
what's the name of the act from it was signed into law in 1987, and I've heard a lot of mention of it over the last few days as being, you know, part of the, you know, one of the things that maybe we could do something about if Mitch McConnell says yeah, because apparently he nudged it, nod and nudge and wink and said, well, yeah, we can do something about that. By the way, I have the, just for the fun of it, I have the latest rage gripe from Nitwit Nero.
Look forward to seeing everyone in Arizona tomorrow. Many topics will be discussed, including the rigged presidential election of 2020, the fake big lie, the corrupt lamestream media, the Afghanistan disaster, inflation, the sudden lack of respect for our nation and its leaders, and much more. Big crowds will also be covered on TV. See you Saturday evening.
In other words, it's going to be the same speech he's been giving for the last 5 years. And by the way, because we started a little trivia thing, David Neblein says, I looked it up on Google to the Department of Transportation. Hawaii does have interstate highways, even though the highways don't leave the state. They're built to interstate highway standards, and thus are interstates. They are eyes. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
I also picked up a tidbit of trivia, and the reason it was built in Hawaii was because the highway system, the interstate system as we know it, was also built for national defense.
Right.
And the interstate in Hawaii is between two bases, or it gets very close to two different bases, to aid in the transportation of military materials between the bases in an efficient manner. And that is how they managed to use the federal highway funds to build the interstate in Hawaii.
Oh, and this is a strictly technical thing. I had a note from our buddy Kevin in Massachusetts, who, by the way, got us started for this evening. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Tracy. Tracy, I hope you're feeling so much better. We are now down to $700 to go to finish the week because Kevin and Tracy, they met Joey and Giraffe's challenge and then added enough to get us down from $800 to $700. Thank you. Thank you both. But Kevin's having a hard time, I think, getting into the chat.
Can you hear me? I just got on.
No, a different Kevin. This is Kevin in Massachusetts. Hi, Kevin in Colorado.
Hi. I don't know what the problem was, but it wasn't even letting me load Skype. So, put him on now, so all is well.
Good, good, good.
You want to know who else is on?
I've got, let's see, I see Ben. This sounds like romper room. And I see Christopher and you, Gary, Jeremy in Vermont. Oh my goodness, there's John Bridevo.
Hey. Shh.
You're lurking. Undercover. You're lurking.
Undercover. I'm lurking. I'm lurking in the background. Shit, no, I jumped in the room when y'all was talking about, oh, let's get pot legalized. And then all of a sudden y'all went off the deep end with serious shit. And I'm sitting here getting all depressed because we ain't legal down here either.
No. And,
anyway, yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm listening to you, darling. How you? How are you?
I'm fair to partly cloudy, but
me too.
Yeah, I'm just glad to hear your voice. I was a little worried about you.
Thank you, Robin. To tell you the truth, I was a little worried about Austin. I don't know. They're running some tests. All I know is something happened. You know,
what day is it, John?
Today?
Yeah.
Beer and Bud Friday.
What the hell? How many days without a cigarette?
It's six. Six fucking days, and there ain't no side effects to it. I don't give a shit what anybody says. The easiest thing I ever did in my freaking life.
God bless its life, yeah.
Six freaking days. I'm breathing, you know, and let me give a shout out to Robin because she's somewhat of an inspiration here. You know, when Robin quit, and it seemed like every time I turn around, somebody else was quitting, you know, and plus
bunch of quitters.
Yeah, just quit at the drop of a hat. Oh, shit. I have to damn near pass out before I even think about it. Anyway, I almost passed out, so I thought about it. And, yeah, it's not, you know, 6 days in, and I'm starting to be able to breathe without hacking the lung up, you know, hacking something up, or just coughing in general.
That was one of the nicest things, John, because when I was still smoking, I'd go to sleep at night, and I could hear my own breath rattle.
I could hear my chest rattling all the time.
Yeah, and I don't do that anymore.
Marcia just made a comment this morning to me. She said, you know something? You didn't cough last night. Because she'll tell me, I cough all night. I don't, you know, I'm asleep. Shit, I don't realize it. You know, when I'm asleep, baby, I'm asleep. I don't care. Hack up a lung, I'd probably sleep through it.
It's yours.
But, Yeah, no, it is. It's 6 days. And like I said, I got people like you who gave me the inspiration and the motivation. And plus, I say a significant event happening, and all of a sudden you go, damn, that was damn near the end. This ain't the way I wrote the fucking book.
No. You know?
It's not the ending part.
No, honey, no. And, well, have you gone out and just, you know, for when those cravings hit real hard, have you gone out and got you any pouches?
No. I have what they call a little fuse.
Yeah.
And it has a little cartridge that you can hit on. Yeah. And I got the lowest milligram nicotine they got. And I hit on it sometimes.
See, I tried vaping, John, and yeah. it I barf up a lung. That stuff was strong.
Yeah, this is not mild, which is, I keep continuing. Well, that's not bad because you don't want to hit it that much. You know, what I have done, what I would do if I was in a legal state, I'd do it the Willie Nelson way. Of course, Willie Nelson is in Texas. What the fuck is that? Anyway.
That's that Willie Nelson privilege.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, yeah.
Well, if you find your, because the on nicotine pouches go as low as 2 milligrams, and those things were an absolute blessing to me starting out, and for a good long while, and that first day without a cigarette, it was amazing because I was just about getting ready to start tearing people's heads off, and I had actually bought some. I never even used them, and Ferg tossed me the can and said, Dad, put one in. And I popped it, and I mean, the craving was gone within seconds. Yeah. Seconds.
Yeah. Anybody who says it's a tough habit to quit. You know, I've been smoking for over 50 freaking years. You know, there's a lot of that shit up in my lungs, and it's, you know.
But the beautiful thing is that barring permanent damage, lung tissue will begin to rejuvenate itself.
I believe that because here it is 6 days in and I can breathe easier already. You know, I'm not expecting any big, you know, it's something I got to work on every day still, you know.
Yep.
I don't have any cigarettes in this house and I don't want to go buy none because have you noticed the price of cigarettes lately?
Holy shit.
See, that's what really probably was the straw that broke the camel's back. On New Year's Day, the night before New Year's, in over December, what was it, 31st, I guess, our water went out. We have a water.
Lord, I saw that.
Yeah, here we go. So I replaced the pressure switch. No go. All right. Condenser. Let's replace that. And the relay switch, too. Let's do that. Okay. Nothing. Well, there's only one thing left in the system.
The pump.
And it's at the bottom of the well. So, day after getting a cortisone shot in my shoulder, my boys and I are out there pulling the well. And we're pulling it out. And we kind of finally got out to the bottom. And those things are not cheap.
No, they're not.
But
Nor are they easy to haul out of the well.
No, they're not. No, they're not. But it helps when you got two strong boys.
That's true.
And it's a lot handier. But they're not cheap. But here, and a credit to both yours and mine, the only reason I could fix that well, Robin, and I fixed it on January 1st. January 1st was the day we got our Patreon funds.
Oh, what a blessing.
Those Patreon funds, combined with what I had left in my account, is what bought the pump. So.
Giant sigh of relief.
I mean to tell you, if it had not been for the supporters of the Blue Dot family and those support that support our show, then no, I wouldn't have been able to pull that out of my butt. But thankfully,
or the pump out of the hole,
or the pump out of the hole. And
sorry, I was just hanging up above the rim.
It took every dime we had. It took every dime we had. Everything, you know. Well, $3.87 left in the account. And you're looking at 3 weeks to go. And all of a sudden, cigarettes were not on the agenda, baby. Not even on the fucking radar. So it was the last straw that broke the camel's back.
So that was 38.7 dimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you had left. Well, you know, John, I'm really tickled to hear from you. I mean that sincerely, because among other things, you know, you're the Texas Whisperer.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw something the other day that just, I giggled merrily for a little bit. And there's not a lot of shit coming out of Texas makes me giggle merrily.
Not much.
But
please enlighten me if I miss something.
Polling data from the gubernatorial primary on the Republican side. Greg Asbot is trailing Alan West.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, West is like at 38%. I think Abbott's like 20. Shit, I don't know. Scraping the bottom of the barrel, I think. Abbott's out of here. Abbott is not going to be tolerated by Republicans, much less Democrats.
Well, I mean, why?
He's a freaking embarrassment to the state.
That's another thing that needs to change.
Yeah. What did he do to get sideways with the maggots?
It's not the maggots; it's the citizens of Texas. Good. You know, when they do this poll, it's not they don't poll just.
Oh, maggots. I thought it was a poll of likely Republican primary voters.
Well, not of them all are Trumpers, I guess. Thank goodness down here in Texas. I'm hoping.
Maybe they're tired of. But Alan West is going to keep saying the quiet part out loud too.
Yeah, Alan West, he's leading the Republican side over there.
That's what
Beto O'Rourke is, you know, how I feel about him. He's our hope here in Texas. He's fighting an uphill battle. And we need all the help we can get to him. But it's not just Texas, baby. It's everywhere, damn it. This is, you know, not slowly. It's hit us in the face like a hammer, really. The importance of 22. Of this midterm, baby, we don't do something here, things are going to get bad. We don't do something across this nation, some things are going to get bad. You know, I did my rant today when I was pissed off at Kristen Sinema.
Ugh.
You know, what are we going to do as a party when our biggest problem is in our house? You know, and it happens.
Yeah,
so
it's like that. It's like that.
Times.
It's like that old horror movie line. The calls are coming from inside the house.
Yeah, it's inside the house. Run. Well, it is in our house. And, you know, she had no problem carving out the filibuster to go after the debt ceiling because the Republicans didn't want to do that. Oh, my goodness. Make us look bad. But y'all go ahead. I'll give you permission to do it. And she did it. But now when it comes to voting rights, oh, that's where you draw the line. Oh, kiss off. You know, I seen the headline, didn't read the story because I don't give a shit, that said that she had an interest in running for president in 24.
Really?
As a moderate.
What drunk wrote that?
I have no idea, but he was on some high crack, I guess. I don't know where he was.
Oh, he had the good shit.
I didn't even read this. I saw the headline and I said, oh, shit. I guess somebody Google it out there. Does she have hopes for 24? I don't know how she thinks she could have a rat's ass chance. You know, who's she hoping
she's
on?
Despised.
Republican support? She's looking for Republican support, I guess. You know? Okay. Well, there's a Democrat I could vote for. One that can tell them Democrats to stick it up their ass, you know, like Joe Manchin does.
You know what? You know what it comes down to is this. When your hubris becomes greater than your sense of reality, you will believe you can walk on water while you're drowning in it.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah.
See douchebag Donnie for evidence. Yeah.
You want me to give you an example? Here's a very good example. And this is going to be way out there for a lot of folk. I don't know if anybody has been watching about what's going on over in the UK. But all of a sudden, there's this big row where during lockdown, Bojo and his fuckwads in 10 Downing Street, which is the residence of the prime minister, were holding parties and shit. And first he said, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. Then it was, I was there, but I didn't know it was a party. And then it was, I was there, I went to it, but I thought it was a work event. Well, apparently one of these events happened the night before Prince Philip's funeral. So what
that
so,
was the straw that broke yes. the camel's back.
Remember, Robin, you and I talked about this. That picture of her sitting there, this
alone,
there alone by herself, mourning her husband of 73 years. And it came out that this latest party was that Bojo was at was the day before that. That made people. That was the thing that just made people go, "Whoa,
okay, what an fine. Asshole!"
Well, yeah. I mean, fine. People were dying and couldn't go to funerals and couldn't go to this and couldn't go to that because you know they were because of the limitations on people being in gatherings. And then, I mean, even people who are not royalists, I listen to a lot of talk radio over there. One of the guys I listen to, he's like, I'm not a particularly a royalist. I don't get all goo-goo gaga about the royal family, but that picture, and he said that picture came out. And when people looked at, people realized their own personal experiences of not being able to go to funerals. And, you know, I had to sit by the phone and wait for the hospital to call me when my dad or my mother died. It was that stuff. And then you saw this, you know, 90 plus year old woman who couldn't sit next to her fucking grandson and children to mourn the death of her 73 year marriage to her 99-year-old husband. It was just a critical mass, and it just people went crazy. And I'll tell you, this is I would hope that people that we would have some sort of, or that maggots would have some sort of epiphany like that here. I don't see it happening, but I don't even – why did I tell that story?
Well, what I want to know is during these parties, did Bojo inhale or did he not inhale?
Right. Oh, get this latest one. They found out that somebody left the goddamn party with an empty suitcase and came back with a suitcase full of bottles of wine. I mean, it's just – it's one of these things where it's like you want to go –
yeah, it's so Louis the 16th.
It's so it's just disgusting, Robin. It's disgusting. While the whole freaking country is doing what they're supposed to be doing, let me tell you what.
And as much as I don't like the royal family, and I don't. I'm with the people who put this country together. Don't need them. Don't care about them. That's their business, not mine.
That picture is just.
But
and
the,
again,
well, what the thing is, even the Queen got shit right this week by stripping Pervy Andy.
That was.
I thought it was great.
That was golden.
But do you know why? You remember? I don't know if you know the story behind it, where about I think it was 150 officers wrote to her and said, "Look, you need to treat him." Like you would treat anybody. And there wasn't even like any discussion from what I understood. Well, you know, Robin, you said that when you and I talked about this, you made a very pertinent observation. A lot of this is generational. It's her generation to be much more to look out for the community much more than about it's about
noblesse oblige.
Yeah. We have the community to worry about.
We've got an entire country that has given us vast amounts of wealth. We can at least act like we're moderately well behaved once in a while. Like we're not complete and absolute tools. And that's been a chore. Here's the flip side of that coin, because everything, you know, nothing is ever as it seems. Brother Deacon Asa points out this thing about Bojo is bullshit. The party in question happened in early 2020. Why are they mad about it and calling for his resignation now? It's garbage. Right wingers are just mad because Bojo's been pushing real hard for vaccine mandates.
No, that's not right. It's not just one party. There was a series.
No, there were multiple bashes.
Multiple party, yeah. And the reason this one really hit people was, is because that picture of the queen sitting there by herself to mourn her husband. That's what. And again, I'm with you to an extent. You know, I'm a little bit more pro-royal, pro-monarchist than most people. But you cannot. You cannot be anything but a douche to not look at that photo and see a 95-year-old woman putting her husband of 73 years to rest, sitting by herself in a church, doing what she should have been doing. All the while, the person, the group making the rules, which was the, you know, the government, having parties. I'll shut up. But you know what that told me? Right wingers. I'm not even going to say conservatives. Right wingers are just awful, awful, awful people. No matter where they are, they're just bad people.
Well, I think it's in the nature of conservatism. I've got an ancient Rome reference from Mike in Cascadia here. And, you know, the awful people in ancient Rome were the conservatives. You know, they called themselves the optimates, the best people, the best men. And their entire goal was to keep themselves enriched and let the rest of the country hang fire. But
nothing changed, huh?
No, not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing.
And, you know, it's even kind of, it even sort of underpins, we were talking about it the other night, Charles Adams's economic interpretation of the Constitution from, 1919? And basically he argues, and I think convincingly so, that the framers of the Constitution set out to put together a system in the wake of the Articles of Confederacy that would damned well protect their wealth. And it's a strong argument, and we know it was strong because the people who attacked Charles Adams attacked him primarily based upon how he chose to live his life, and not the content of his writings. See, you thought I was going to say character, but I didn't do that. But Mike in Cascadia writes, "Isn't it true that the Romans had a law that said public health is the greatest good?" Yes. It was a fundamental principle that superseded all other laws. Because, you know, you don't have much of an empire if it's being eaten up by cholera. It's been a bedrock of pandemic control since the role of the state is to protect public health. The Supreme Court just gutted that. They're destroying the federal government and its ability to protect us. What happens when we're confronted with a more deadly pandemic? Well, then you get Station 11. And again, if you've got HBO Max, I keep encouraging people. It's just a one-season affair. I think Annette and I are like two episodes away from the end. But what a roller coaster it's been. And, you know, it takes place before, during, and after a massive pandemic that kills everybody and their cousin and just leaves a very few pockets of humanity alive. Wow, we'll be watching. I think we're going to try to, you know, we're rationing it at this point because I don't know how it's going to end, but it's going to be sad when it does. But yeah, the Romans understood you dig your sewage pits, but you know the central, you know, we talk about the aqueducts, we talk about the massive monumental structures. The thing that meant the most in terms of engineering in ancient Rome was the Cloaca Maxima, the giant sewer pipe that pumped all of their sewage out into the river. And I think starting with the Romans, and certainly up to the present day, they euphemistically referred to the Tiber as the Blonde River of Rome. Doesn't that just sound cute? But because it's filthy. You take care of public sanitation first. You know, oddly enough, Charles Beard, not Charles Adams. Thank you, Tom. Charles Adams, please, Robin. Charles Beard. Really, thank you. Thank you, Tom, in sunny San Rafael, for being the corrections department. Charles Adams. That's the Adams family, for sake. But you've got to have public health first. And oddly enough, Tony Bourdain was fascinated with Typhoid Mary and did some serious historical research, wrote about her, and she literally was a one woman epidemic. And as a consequence, and she killed off a bunch of wealthy people, the children mainly of wealthy people, and she thought, and I think this is instructive for the present day, she didn't understand and was angry about being taken away from her work, because even though she was a carrier and transmitter of typhoid, she was never, ever, ever symptomatic. And so how is that not a direct correlation to now, in which you've got these people who say, I ain't got no symptoms, I ain't gonna wear no mask? It's the same damn thing all over again. There was a great limited series on Stars, I think it was. Cinemax. And it's probably viewable on other platforms now called, The Nick. The Nick. About a turn of the 19th into the 20th century hospital called the Knickerbocker. It's brilliantly shot. They shot a lot of it on location in the Lower East Side. And one of the plot lines that runs through it is literally Typhoid Mary and the attempt to build a public health system in the United States beginning in the early 1900s. And so and it's fascinating from a legal standpoint, because that's also the same era where you've got the Supreme Court striking down wage and hour laws for bakers based on the bullshit, entirely made-up construct of privity of contract. But eventually you got enough enlightenment in the court system that by the time Massachusetts requires mandatory inoculation, mandatory vaccines, the Supreme Court writes and says, hell yes! The rights of the many outweigh the rights of the few or the one. It was kind of Spocky, in fact. It was so that, and let me mention, by the way, since we're into the third hour of the program, we got $700 to go to finish fundraising for this week. So that's basically
$700 for a miracle.
It's a $700 miracle.
That is a whole lot less than the last miracle that I've seen happening.
Yes, it is. It is.
This is a possible miracle. This is a doable.
This miracle. Is a reachable miracle. It could happen in an hour's time.
It only happens by the pure generosity of the people listening right now.
That's the
truth. If you enjoy this conversation, if you enjoy the camaraderie, the fellowship right here.
The joie de vivre. The joie de vivre.
Right. Yeah, what he said. Then take your time to consider donating. This is where the money is needed. This is where the rubber hits the road in the journey that we're trying to save this democracy in some damn way. Because today I have a hard time figuring out how we're going to do it, because the problems are within our house. But the overall voice of the liberal.
Well, I think what it boils down to, John, is we've got to hang on through 2022. And then in 2024, we got to hang on through 2022. And like I was saying the other night, dare to dream, and bust our ass to get a Senate seat in Florida, to get a Senate seat in Pennsylvania, a Senate seat in Ohio, a Senate seat in Iowa. These are doable things.
I think Wisconsin's doable.
Yeah, so bang, that's five. That's three more than we need to render Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema irrelevant.
Irrelevant. And that's the only out that we have here.
Because I can't see John Fetterman in Pennsylvania saying, no, I agree with Joe Manchin. We've got to make sure that the wrong people can't vote. I don't see that guy doing it. I don't even see Tim Ryan doing it in Ohio.
It's the quality of the vote. Yeah. Shove that up your ass. You know, we got a shot. Plus, we have to hang on to Georgia.
Yeah,
you know, we can't let Georgia slip.
And that's why I was asking. That's why I was asking the other night: is Herschel Walker just a stalking horse for whoever the real candidate's going to be?
I hope. Please tell me, or you know, is that the best you got down there, buddy? Is that the best you got in Georgia on the Republican side? It's Herschel Walker, great football player.
No, but Steve from Georgia Stand gave us the list the other night. There's a bunch of Republicans running for that nomination. But you know, he's the candidate that makes us all go squirrel.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's, you know, the courage to stand up and speak what we all need to say. You know, I don't. You know, we got some.
Hasn't Trump endorsed him?
Oh hell yeah!
Yes, yes. Oh yeah, in a heartbeat. And you know, it begs the question, really. That's the best you have to offer in Georgia on the Republican side. You know, I'm a great ball player.
Politician, is he running for Warnock's seat? Or
yeah, Warnock's seat, Kevin. Yeah.
Warnock will eat him alive in a debate.
I'm hoping.
Well, if they debate, I mean, you've seen the latest. The RNC is now demanding that any Republican presidential candidate swear that they will not participate in any debates sponsored by the Presidential Debate Commission.
Ain't that some shit? Ain't that some shit, Robin?
That's some.
Are they going to have primary debates?
Oh, you mean pageants?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they'll have those on Fox or OAN. We'll have a just spectacular.
This maybe it's time for the League of Women Voters to run the debates. Again.
They don't want to
get rid of that. Get rid of that Presidential Debate Commission.
I can't see how a Republican can get in anywhere, at any level, to get up to debate anybody right now. The mud that we can throw in their face is just unbelievable.
Debate.
Well, but see,
they don't even have town halls anymore.
As far as way too much of America is concerned, the Republican candidates know that all they've got to do is get up there in a debate and say, "Argle bargle critical race theory warble whoop trans kids."
Yeah. What she said right there. Huh? We can't have none of that.
Dr. Seuss.
What she said, critical stuff.
The world's crazy, but in Alabama, we don't do CRT.
No, we don't do that shit down here in Texas either.
No, hell no.
None of them books either.
And don't do vaccines real good neither, right, Gary?
No.
Right. Well, that was Meemaw's commercial. It's crazy out there, but you just don't do them CRT in the state of Alabama.
No. And you got what is it, Fob James's boy that's thinking about primarying her? And he said his two central issues were going to be trans people and yoga in the schools.
Yoga in the schools.
Hey, Robin.
Yes.
I learned about CRTs in my high school electronics class.
I'll bet you did.
Hey, Cowbell, Sparky there. Well, I know who's going to sponsor the debates that are shown on Onan. It's got to be Coors, because that's pretty much like drinking urine.
Oh, well played.
New in the club out there, you know.
I figured it would be the presidential primary debates brought to you by Mr. Meth Pillow.
There you go.
I mean, I know we giggle and we fun and we carry on, but they self-parody. I mean, the story I had earlier about Delegate Wren Williams, who introduced his goddamn CRT bill in Virginia, where students are going to have to learn about the first debate between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. And blame the people whose actual job is writing legislation. Frederick Douglass, debate. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you very kindly. We have an anonymous challenge out there. A two-for-one match of contributions, up to $100. It's the Anti-Pied Pooper Challenge. A new name for the former guy, the Pied Pooper.
The Pied Pooper.
So the Pied Pooper, the Anti-Pied Pooper Challenge is on the table, and that will result in a significant diminution of the deficit thus far. It would, if I understand correctly, wipe out a day of fundraising, because basically we're looking at Wednesday, Thursday, and today for getting all caught up,
What a challenge!
Yeah,
and that's one wonderful. That can be met.
That's 10 people at $10 or yes, 5 at 20, 20 at 5.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Keeps Robin on the air, baby. This is how Robin pays the bills. So yes,
we're at the expensive part of the calendar, where there is much propane and electricity being consumed, and
where you get your water, Robin?
It comes in from West Virginia American Water Company. We don't drink it.
Okay,
we don't drink it.
Yeah.
But we do. We do bathe in it and whatnot. We had a real nice well once upon a time, John. And then they blew up the mountain out the road. Next thing you know,
well, not so good of water anymore.
Yeah. Huh? Next thing you know, you haul out that. You know, it's one of that long cylinder. I mean, when I was little, I loved drawing up a cylinder of water because it was so ice cold, crystal clear. It was wonderful. And then they blew up the mountain, and you draw that cylinder up, or you know, by then we got a pump. But you turn the faucet on, and something that stinks like rotten eggs and looks like tomato soup comes out.
Mm-hmm. Ours isn't quite that bad, but we don't drink our water. I get fetch water up out here. I have to drive about, I don't know, 10, 15 miles to go get water, depending if one machine's working or not. I fill up my 5-gallon jugs and bring them back to the house. But like you, we bathe in it and wash dishes and stuff with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can
tell you guys are talking about water just to get me pissed off again, right?
Yes, we did.
Sorry
just
about
to piss
Spark.
You off.
Sorry about that, Spark.
We get ours out of the Tennessee River. That's worse.
Oh, wait, where are you, Gary?
Up here on north end of Alabama.
Well, I mean, that's where I'm from.
From Bridgeport.
Oh, okay. I'm over on the other end. I grew up in the Shoals, and our water, the city water in Florence, Alabama, was always very, very good. It came out of Cypress Creek.
Our water came out of Georgia. It was perfect water. Now it comes out of the Tennessee River. They have to put some chemicals in it. It just stinks about 9 o'clock every night.
Ugh.
So I've got two things of bottled water. They go packages of water in there.
Yeah, we use.
Get bottled water deliveries for years.
I filter mine through some tea and sugar.
Filtration.
I get Mount Shasta
makes
spring
iced tea.
Water.
Works great for me.
Oh, that'd be nice, Mount Shasta spring water. Some of the best water I ever had was in Ashland, Wisconsin. There was an artesian well there, dug thousands of years ago by little tiny artesians. That's a joke. There was a
best water I tasted, Robin, was in the, up by Pernell Falls here in Texas, and there is a natural spring there.
There was an artesian well on the park property at Pinson Mound State Park in a state archaeological park in Southwest Tennessee. And that was some amazing water. I mean, bubbled up out of the ground with amazing force. And ice cold, crystal clear, and just heavenly. Because it had been filtered through shit tons of limestone.
Yeah. It's the same up there around Pernellas Falls. Same kind of terrain, I guess, or geological.
And my friends up in northern Wisconsin got, you know, they get all passionate about their water up there. There was a in Ashland. There, I hope it's still there. A coffee shop called the Black Cat Cafe. and they made all their coffee there every day with the artesian well water from that well nearby. And it was a fine cup of coffee, I want you to know.
See? That's the other way I have water. Go through coffee grounds?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was tickled pink. I was in the food line the other day, and I saw Cafe Busteo decaf espresso, because I'm decaffeinated. Don't hate.
I have cafe. What'd you say?
Busteo. Busteo, yeah.
I got that from one of our Blue Dot members. Sent it to me.
Good stuff. Well, I'd never seen the decaf before.
Pretty good coffee.
I'd never seen the decaf before, but I tried it, and I've drank it 2 days in a row, and it is fine. And I use it. There's a company called Bobble, B-O-B-B-L-E. This is unpaid product placement. I love this thing. Little portable French press coffee maker. It's just an insulated metal cylinder with the French press with the mesh screen in the bottom. You put the boiling water in on the grounds. You put the little silicone lid on to keep the heat in. Let it sit about 5 minutes. Stir it up. Press it. Oh, it's a fantastic cup of coffee. And we took those.
Well, I have my. Oops, sorry.
No, go ahead, Tracy. Hey. Hey, go hey.
I was just thinking about, hey, go hey, when Jen and I were in Mississippi. We had, you know, because we're used to water in California, in Los Angeles. You can drink tap water here.
Man.
You know, they brought me, Jen and I, some water, and I'm like, what is that smell? Straight up sulfur, y'all. Straight up sulfur. I'm like, oh, God. Ew, ooh. I'm like, nah, that, we won't be drinking any of that shit. I'm being from a state that's relatively civilized and, you know, cares about their citizens and stuff like that. It is very hard for me to understand how other states are ran, or better yet, not ran.
Get started by Alabama.
Or run into the ground.
Or run into the ground. That was another thing. Man, the potholes. When we were driving, I'm like, I was very glad that I did not own the vehicle, that we had a rental. But I'm like, holy shit, my suspension ain't, I mean, anybody who owns a car, they obviously their suspension hold up. It's horrible. It was just like the roads disrepair.
Well, I mean, you'd have to have like a tax base and people pay, you know, if you want roads, because...
Right.
I mean, you get now a place like Mississippi gets a lot of federal money for roads,
yes,
but you can't. But you can't use that for, County Road 6 and 7/8 between bumfuck and bumbledick. You can't do that.
Scrunch Ankle Road and. Yeah, we got a scratch take a road.
Hey, Gary, did you notice that one of the oath keepers that got indicted, and I said yesterday, I wonder how many people mispronounced the name. One of the oath keepers that got indicted was from Arab.
Oh, yeah.
I could just hear professional news anchors all over America saying, and this oath keeper was from Arab, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. And just hear it. See,
wow. Just the fact that they charged him with sedition, right?
The seditious conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Step up.
Isn't that like, was it you or somebody else that I heard? That's like just a snatch away from treason?
Not that far. You can see it from there.
I can see it. Like, you know, wasn't it to see Russia?
Yeah, and the thing, and it carries it carries 20 years hard federal time.
Yeah, but one of those 11 is going to start squealing like a stuck pig so they can get it dropped down to a misdemeanor so they can keep their guns.
Yeah, but well, it's going to Stuart Rhodes is going to have to squeal especially loud. And today John Berman on CNN interviewed his ex-wife Tasha Adams, Stuart Rhodes's, and she said that her family was very happy that he's been arrested. She said, I knew I lived in fear he might show up here, But the just setting that weight down and knowing we were safe and my kids were safe and my kids' school doesn't have to worry, that was a relief I didn't know existed. She said he's a dangerous man, very dangerous. He lives very much in his own head. He sees himself as a great leader. He almost has his own mythology of himself, and I think he almost made it come true as seeing himself as some sort of figure in history, and it sort of happened. He's a complete sociopath. He does not feel empathy for anyone around him at all.
Psychic leader.
Dropped 17 grand on guns and ammo before the insurrection.
Wow.
$17,000?
That's a hell of an overt act, I would say.
It smells kind of overt. No, yeah, it does, Bilbo.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. You know, what I was trying to get a handle on is the statutory maximum penalty is 20 years in jail. I was trying to figure out what the if there's any guidelines for that. I don't think there's even sentencing guidelines for that statute because it's so rare to be charged with that, you know?
Well, aren't the last people charged with that are the Puerto Ricans that shot up Congress?
You may have a point there. Yeah, probably so. Sounds right. But yeah, I mean, you're going to have a real, if you get convicted of that, you're going to get a real long sentence. You're talking probably at least 10 years, if not longer, you know? Well, we're talking serious federal time.
I'm hoping for longer.
I want to see all 11 of them do all 20. Within the parameters of what Roger said, if they want to give up Nitwit Nero and say he told us to do it, because it wouldn't surprise me a damn bit, I'd say we could knock it from 20 down to 10.
Let's make a deal. Come on down.
Will the Oath Keepers become the plea takers?
Okay.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Oh, there.
Oath number one. Come on down. You're up next on the Time is Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if I don't think Stewie can do 20 years of hard time in a federal penitentiary. After all, he's like he's a Yale law graduate, you know?
Yeah, I know. That beats cat's fucking. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, and your estimation of Yale has gone down even further now that, you know, he went there, right?
it falls a little more every day. It's the one thing Joe Scarborough and I agree on. By the way, Joe Scarborough, dude had a little hissy this morning. I haven't watched it all week long, but you know, they sometimes he and Mika both work on Fridays, and we had things we had to do this morning, so I was up at 6. I caught it. I caught the 2 hours that they actually work.
Sometimes when she's there, he kind of accidentally don't do that.
Well, he went off on Lindsey Graham.
Oh gosh.
And said, you know, poor old Lindsey got plumb scared back into being a maggot by four cranky Trump supporters and an old hound dog. And then he started. Joe Scarborough called him everything but a big old sissy, and said, you know, I'd love to have the clip of this, but any man. And, you know, he punched the word man. Any man, and then there was a pause you could drive a fleet of trucks through. Any man, or woman, who would let himself be intimidated that way, blah, 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 blah. I was like, dang. Joe's one more shot of espresso away from just calling him Lady G and having done with it.
Isn't that what the rest of us have resorted to?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm trying to watch my language now. I'm, you know, in a different space. As Darlene in Connecticut reminded me earlier, she said, "Don't get the big head. Don't You got carded at Wally World because they have to ask no matter what. I had that experience, too, and was so happy thinking it was because I looked young. I thanked the young clerk who quickly dispelled that notion. Oh, no, mine did, too. She said, oh, no, she said, ma'am, I'm sorry to have to ask, but can I see your ID? And I handed it over, and she said, well, thank you. She said, honey, I have to card everybody. It's like, well, damn. But, you know, take the bitter with the sweet.
So much for my youthful looks, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a low energy sort of day. I didn't mess with any cosmetics or anything. I was downright nondescript. You know, still, but we got to try to find our little victories where they pop up. Thank you to Ralphs. Ralphs has kicked in the first $10 on the anti-pied pooper challenge. So there's $90 more to go on that. We got 35 minutes. And Ralphs just informed me of something. This is good. Bloomberg reporting that DirecTV is going to drop Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. So if you're a DirecTV subscriber, there will be no more Onan for you. Yay.
Take the little miracles where you can find them.
Yeah, exactly. Little miracles everywhere.
Yeah.
I thought they were under some kind of obligation to do that. Was that from the parent company? AT&T is their parent company, right?
I think AT&T does own them. Let me drill down in this.
And there was something, I don't remember what podcast, but there was AT&T something about that. What's that, Sparky?
AT&T owns DirecTV.
Still own.
And then for some reason, DirecTV was under some sort of obligation to carry them. Maybe that's expired. Maybe they said, you know what, this shit is such garbage.
Well, I never knew who the owner of Onan was. It is Herring Networks, as in red herring, huh?
Does it mention if I'll still get Fox when I own the liberals?
When the contract runs out, DirecTV is going to stop carrying them, as well as another channel that Herring Networks owns called AWE, which stands for A Wealth of Entertainment.
Great. I wonder what that is. Probably dogfighting.
Jesus, Christopher, but it's hard to... Yeah. But Bloomberg reports Onan depends heavily on DirecTV, its largest distributor, to reach its audience. It's still carried on Verizon Fios and smaller pay TV providers. But Comcast has never carried them. Charter's never carried them. Dish Network has never carried them. So that is a shot across the bow. We informed Herring Networks the following. This Jeffrey apparently works for DirecTV. We informed Herring Networks that following a routine internal review, we do not plan to enter into a new contract when our current agreement expires. So that's not a terrible thing.
Yeah, I think that's where all their revenue came from, so they might be going bye-bye.
Oh, Seb Gorka's going to be... I don't... You know, Seb Gorka went to Onan. I don't know, will Newsmuck or America's Real Voice or... Jesus.
They're probably going to have to relocate to Hungary, the Orban network.
That's good. Hey, y'all talk amongst yourselves for a second. I got to check in on something. I'll be right back.
Hi, Tracy. Hey, Rick. How's lovely Los Angeles?
AT&T's got a new CEO, so that's probably what changed things. They got rid of the guy, original guy, merged AT&T and Warner Media together. That was a debacle, from what I heard.
I was going to come back to Tracy on the good water in L.A., the only reason that L.A.'s got such good water is they dried up the Owens River Valley.
I'm smart of them. Not.
Guy by the name of Mulholland. decided L.A. needed water, and they went over to the eastern side of the Sierra and tapped into the Owens River. I mean, not the eastern side of the Sierra, the eastern side of the Coast Range. And or maybe it is the Sierra. Anyhow, tapped into that and pumped it all over to Los Angeles because the Owens River was just beautiful, clean, clear, snowmelt water. And fuck the people in the Owens Valley, but who cares? It was for the betterment of the city.
Hey, Roger, it's been a million years since I've seen Chinatown, but isn't Chinatown kind of revolve around that or something similar?
It does.
I'm not a movie person.
Oh, okay. It does, Rick.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Beautiful pictures that you posted the other night. Wow.
Well, it's sort of like after I posted that sunset, I like saw like about five or six other sunsets taken by other people in Southern California. So I think the sky was just on fire that night. I mean, it was just beautiful. I mean, sometimes you just get those, you know, the perfect, you know, the clouds are in the perfect position as the sun's going down. And I mean, that sunset just didn't end. I mean, I kept standing outside. It's like, okay, is it going to get darker? Is it going to get darker? It just got more different and beautiful. So I just stood out there for like probably, you know, 15 minutes. You know, normally I don't take breaks when I'm working, but I did in this instance. So.
And at least this
time, there have been a bunch of beautiful sunsets coming out of Humboldt County too, because I'm part of a Humboldt County Facebook group posting pictures and that kind of stuff. Just gorgeous sunsets.
Yeah. I mean,
at least this time of year, it isn't literal fire in the sky.
Humboldt County, California, right?
Yeah, we tend to get
Humboldt County, California. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Okay, you just wanted to get that in there.
Isn't that where Bernadette is from?
That's where I want to. Never mind.
Yes, Bernadette is, but she's not on the coast. She's inland.
Yeah, but I mean, wintertime is basically sunset season for Southern California, anyway. Yeah, you know, we get our best sunsets in the wintertime consistently. I've noticed.
Yeah, but you don't have any clouds in the summer to have a sunset with.
Well, that's true. Got a point there. Got a point. Yeah, I actually kind of like winter. I mean, the you know, just the change. It's not always sunny out. It's kind of like just overcast and just the whole winter sky thing. It's just, I don't know. I like it for some reason. I know Robin doesn't agree with that, but, you know. Oh, there's another beautiful sunset. Is that you,
Tracy? Look at that, Tracy. Wow.
Nice. Where was that taken, Tracy?
You're on mute, Tracy.
Oh, Tracy?
Jasper, help me.
Oh, that was Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi, okay.
That was Biloxi when you're on your trip?
So what was the name of the nice officer who pulled you over, Tracy, in Mississippi?
Officer Friendly.
Jeez. Bubba, there you go.
yeah. Probably a descendant from the one, you know, that stopped the guys in Easy Rider.
I was thinking of Fife.
Exactly. Jeez. Oh, well.
I'm back. Ferg called to me. He's kind of the torch has been passed. He's in there cooking. He's got this thing he does with Brussels sprouts now where he kind of chars them and does them up with like 11 secret herbs and spices.
Ooh.
Wow, they're good. They are so good. They're restaurant good. Hey, thank you.
On a baking sheet, Robin?
No, he skillet sears them.
Okay, nice.
And I mean, and he blackens them.
Mm-hmm.
They're real yummy. Hey, thank you. Thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus. We are now down to $80 to go on the anti-pied pooper challenge. Thank you so much. And got about half an hour to get the rest of the way. Got a couple of pieces of information here. The last successful conviction for seditious conspiracy was October 1, 1995. Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and nine others convicted of seditious conspiracy accused of terrorist plots in New York City. On 29 March 2010, 9 members of Huttery were charged with seditious conspiracy. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, in Florida. Note coming in from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Decaffeinated? I said don't hate. Decaffeinated? Them's fighting words, can you tell? I like my caffeine. I did, too, until I OD'd on the stuff. You know, three pots a night running the radio, running the midnight shift at the radio station. Excuse me. Just too much. And I have been battling a cough, and that's why I've been staying home. You know, because everything, it's, in January 2022, you don't just have a cough. You have, oh my God, is it?
You been tested, Robin?
No, can't.
Are you sure you don't have that?
But yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just staying away from people and, you know, kind of assuming that I might, but, you know.
January the 19th, we're supposed to get our free COVID tests from our government.
Yes,
tests
you can.
Tests or masks? Are they sending masks mail to
I don't know about Matt, but tests, you can request them starting the 19th.
Hey, Robin, I wanted to touch on something going back to cinema. Something you said something really interesting that Annette had told you when she said that cinema, and during that speech, she was quivering and quaking, and that she thought she was scared.
Yeah.
Is there someone holding a virtual a dagger to her throat?
I think being as she comes from Arizona and she's already abandoned her base conspiracy or her base constituency, I think she's probably and there's probably more guns than people in Arizona. She's probably afraid of every maggot there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or is it something more direct, like I don't know, one of Roger Stone's goons or Steve Bannon's goons, or?
Well, I think if she had been directly threatened, it would be in the news. I think this is right. More just sort of an existential dread. And
oh, general, okay.
Yeah, because remember,
like
she comes from the same state as Gabby Giffords.
Yes, of course.
So that's probably somewhat real to her.
So if she carves out the filibuster for voting rights, the maggots are going to be on her like maggots.
Right.
That's what she's thinking. Okay.
The anniversary of the attack was only like last weekend, so maybe that was fresh in her mind too.
Yeah, that all makes sense. Wow.
Is she up for election this year?
No.
24.
Mark Kelly is up for his own term in Arizona in 22.
Does anyone know anything about the contenders, the Republican contenders? Are they going to have a primary to see who can out-maggot each other in Arizona?
I'm sure they probably will. It's sport nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, going against Mark Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's several of them already showing up.
Maggot Fest, Arizona.
I'm still in disbelief that the guy who chose to interrogate innocent prisoners by firing guns next to their heads is ahead of the Texas governor in the polling.
Alan West, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier,
Jeremy. All people. A dirtbag on top of a dirtbag is ahead of your governor.
He's a whack job, man.
It's mind-baffling.
Fuck, I'm depressed. God dog it. But ain't bad enough. I got Ted Cruz.
Another
I got
Ted office. Cruz
down here. Really? Great, Abbott.
Yeah, and I was talking about, you know, the cough I have and everything, and Brother Deacon Asa said, remember how you were in a public washroom the other day and the woman in the next stall over was coughing up a lung? That's probably where you picked up the Rona. I don't know that I have it, don't want to have it, but also don't want to, yeah. But that was Saturday last week, so I have pretty much stayed home, with the single exception of having to go to Walmart today. But I was, you know, thoroughly masked and drove around looking for some KN95s. back a few months ago, you could have all you want at the Lowe's. But, well, not so much. And not going to order them from Amazon because there's no reason to think that they're not anything but counterfeit.
It's also hard to find home test kits these days as well.
Oh, mercy.
I found a couple at CVS, and I had them there and said, okay, that'll be $80. I said, what? $34 each, $35 each. I said, what? Really? And so I put one back and only got one. I got it for my son. He tested negative. So he was he's still convinced he has it. Of course, I had it. But I'm all better now.
Isn't it great?
I was able to ride the bike today, which told me that my lungs are okay. You know, rode for like about an hour. So good, that was Greg. Good. Yeah.
Star's okay too?
Oh yeah, she's fully recovered. Yeah, she recovered righted because she had the symptoms earlier, you know. So, so it's it's not that it's not as serious as the other varieties, I think, but still you don't want to get it if you can help it, you know.
Well, we can't find any tests because Death Sentence was hoarding them all, and they all expired.
Yeah, right.
Motherfucker. God.
It's not as serious if you were vaccinated. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We had a thing on our local news station. There's people out here advocating, attempting to catch the Rona so they will be protected, quote unquote.
Okay. Oh. Catchers.
Yeah,
natural immunity.
Bug chasers.
Dumb immunity, is that it? It's dumb immunity. Yeah.
Glenn Beck had dumb immunity and it didn't work. He got it again.
Yeah, what's up lungs. With anybody know the latest with him? He sounded fucking horrible when
the virus so nice he had it twice.
He had it so
He said it's in his lungs and Mark Levin kept saying it doesn't sound good. I said, oh, it's fine, don't worry, I'll be fine. I'm taking, Ivermectin and God.
Joe Rogan's coming over.
Got me a big iced tea glass full of pee right here, yeah.
And even he came out and said that if you ask your
doctor, it's gonna piss in my throat, down my throat. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, even he, during the Mark Levin interview that Robin played last night, said that they look at you like you're crazy if you ask for these drugs, because they know you're fucking crazy.
Yeah, because it is fucking crazy.
You know my two favorite words in the list about what happens when you take ivermectin? Explosive diarrhea.
Oh, what a wonderful side effect.
I mean, that's the kind that comes along, you got no clue. And then
get propulsion.
Then you are a solid rocket booster.
Hold on, baby, I'm going deep. I ate beans last night. Shit,
talk about a sneak attack, jeez.
I mean, I think that extends past the classic gamble and lose.
That story I shared from the fall about my friend who wasn't vaccinated for whatever reason, a bigger dude, and he caught it and it wasn't a big deal and I'm fine, and no one checked on him and he knew he had it because he tested positive for it, did nothing about it, killed him 3 days later.
Wow.
Because it got into his lungs. So Glenn saying it's in my lungs is never a good step. That means he's close to danger whether he wants to believe it or not. Very close.
Yeah, well, he's
given his past, being an addict, he earned his damage to his body, and an alcoholic for years and years and years.
Yeah.
He's a higher risk than the average person. Plus, he's got to be close to 60 now, at least. Maybe more.
He and I are about the same age. Like I said the other night, one of the nicer things about my transition is nobody says I look like Glenn Beck anymore.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt that is a good benefit.
I mean, that was reason enough, frankly.
You've got your fingers crossed on Glenn Beck.
Didn't he say he's taking ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine?
Oh, yes.
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 And one other one, I forget one.
Monoclonal antibodies?
Yeah.
That's it.
No, but he said, this much he got half right. There are three monoclonal antibodies out there. two of them don't work on the Rona or on Omicron.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I heard that. But do you now, see, Jeremy,
for COVID, I heard there's a pill to treat it.
Yeah, there's something coming out. Pfizer's coming out with something.
It's not in the marketplace yet, though, huh?
No.
But Jeremy, the Beckerhead has nothing to worry about because remember he's washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's all you really.
There you go.
No, he's got the magic underwear. That's what really will save.
I mean, he can use rot.
I don't want him to suffer. I don't want him to die. And I'll give him the smallest amount of credit. At least he said on air it's a real thing. It's not fake.
That,
you can hear it in his voice.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy, you just got us down to $60 to go on the anti-pied pooper challenge. So $60 to go in 16 minutes. That would be fantastic.
That would be great. That would be great. I'll step up if you can.
Hey, John, so beyond, you know, this is the classic, well, everything else notwithstanding, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But is everybody else there in the greater Britivo compound doing okay?
We're all doing pretty good, you know. We're not having too many problems. We still have one lurching asshole. You know, I went out to go mow the grass outside the fence the other day.
In January.
Here comes the jackass. Yeah, he come right down, just parked his tractor right across the street, just stared at me. I kept mowing. He gets his jollies, I guess. You know, he's pissed off at me now because, did I tell you the dog story, Robin?
No.
I come home one day, my neighbor's dog, he always lives out in the street, parks at everybody, he's harmless, been out there for years. Come home, the dog is dead in the road.
Oh.
So I go pick up the dog, wrap it up in a tarp, put it off the side. And, of course, we have security cameras out the wazoo in this house, so we go to the security cameras. What the hell happened to the dog? Well, lo and behold, the video shows the dog, after the owner left, runs down the street a little ways, where he always goes. He's standing out in the street, and all of a sudden you hear, pop, and the dog turns and runs back. The dog was in the street. Runs back down around the front of my house, across the street, where my neighbor lays down, and that's it.
Oh, Jesus.
So the big Republican down there with all the Let's Go Brandon signs shot the other neighbor's dog who lives across the street from me, who's a teabag Republican. And we provided video to the people across the street. Say, sorry about your dog. This is what happened. So right now, the tensions in the neighborhood are pretty high because what are you going to do? You got two Trump supporters over here, shot each other's dog.
That's that classic scenario of, come on, y'all, let's you and him fight.
Yeah.
mega crime.
And I'm the one that delivered the evidence to him, so he's pissed off at me again because that's the story of his life. I live in his fucking head all day long.
Rent-free.
Rent-free, baby. I'm there. But he is the only one left on the street with any, you know, he's got the Let's Go Brandon signs facing in both directions. So whether I leave or whether I come in, I see the sign. It's his dream in life is to, I don't know, bug me, I guess. He quit working a long time ago. He's a dick. He's a dick in the neighborhood, and he's pissed off at me because I'm a Democrat. And that's how come I fear for my donkey. Yeah. I don't trust that sucker. Sure? Not a bit, baby. He's a whack job from hell.
So he's the guy who shot the dog?
Yeah. Dude, he's the guy that shot his neighbor's dog.
How can you do that? And
here's the proof. You know, here's the video. We have audio. You know, we have a microphone out there by the road. You know, you can hear the shot. And the dog is in the street. It's not like the dog was up in his yard or anything.
No, it wasn't worrying the sheep or anything.
Nope,
or any statutory
stuff.
He was
not bothering a damn thing. All of a sudden, you hear the shot, the dog run.
Well,
we can't see who made the shot.
Is it allowed to shoot dogs?
Huh?
I mean, isn't it against... Oh, fuck, I said that on my goddamn mask. Isn't it against the law to shoot dogs? I mean...
We gave the video evidence to the people who own the dog. And she went to go see the constable. So I don't know what's happening right now. We're just waiting to see. But I do know he's lurching around. He's, you know, he drives by all the fucking time, staring intently mad at me. And
Rick or Robin, correct me if I'm wrong. It's probably at worst a property crime.
Oh, it is a property crime. Animals. It is a property. Well, I mean, it could be animal cruelty.
But it ain't.
It could be animal cruelty, for sure. It could
be animal cruelty. That's probably more severe than a
property. Well, it gets to be worrisome when you've had Jenny break out occasionally. What if you tried to show it Jenny?
Oh, that's my biggest fear.
Say you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, if that donkey got out and down the road, oh, no. Uh-uh. That's my biggest fear right now. Because the reason I'm serious. The reason the guy is carrying a gun around with him, he is hoping beyond hope that he gets in a confrontation with me and has legal right to pull it.
Yeah.
That's why he's carrying
the ground.
Because of me.
Probably.
He's looking for that opportunity. You know, we have him on video with his little tractor out there, with just right in front of me and my son, threatening to run the blade right into us. I'm sitting there with my camera going, you know, go for it, buddy. That's when this guy tells me, we're filming, by the way, and there's security cameras. Yeah, you're going to jail, motherfucker. Yeah, I mailed you some pot, man. You're going to jail. You're being set up, man. I'm waiting to see the really.
Oh, this guy's a real.
I said, how stupid do you have to be to say that when you know
this guy's a real Einstein?
Oh, he is a piece of work. He is totally a piece of work. Yeah.
Oh, that's
As
great.
A matter of fact, I'm waiting on the opportunity next time he gets near me and says anything about it, or if he just pisses me off, I'm going to stop when he's talking to somebody and just ask him, Tommy, I'm beginning to think you lied to me, man. You said you mailed me some pot, and dude, it hasn't shown up in a bit. You know, I wish you want to try again, mail some more to me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Put some more in the mail, will you?
Yeah, but unfortunately, I have to take him seriously because he is carrying them.
And he's insane.
I believe his intent is to have a confrontation with me.
Mm.
Came real close to pulling it out in the street before I backed off. I saw him reach for the gun, and I immediately called. He got a gun, and everybody backed up because that's what he wants. Mm. So,
jeez.
That's how come when I ask y'all to donate to keep Robin's voice on the air, it goes personal. You hear all the conversation and the laughs and all the discussions that you have here. You don't see the bullshit that Robin has to go through. The personal bullshit.
There is some.
You have to face up to your neighbors and your friends who hate you for your voice.
Oh.
For your voice, baby. You got added things there, Robin. I'm sorry you're beating the shit out of me in that category.
No, not really. But I mean, I saw a new, what may be a new social trend among the maggots today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we may have moved on from Let's Go Brandon to three letters on the back of a Chevy pickup truck window.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. FJB.
FJ, fuck John Brennan. Fucking assholes, really? FJB?
You got enemies everywhere.
I got enemies everywhere. Good, I'm making a dent, FJB, really? What does that supposedly stand for?
That's really clever, FJB. Who would ever have thought of that, you know?
Oh, no, it had little bubbles around it or shit. I don't know. I should have taken a picture, but yeah.
Oh, you mean it wasn't about me? Well, shit. I thought I'd hit the big
one. Why would you do that?
I don't know. I was hoping I hit the star.
I thought it was friends of John Brittavo, but then I took a look. Then I took a look at old boy and the rest of his decals, and I asked
the guy down the street.
I think he had Calvin carrying a Confederate flag, peeing on some NASCAR or something.
I just got back from the Blue Dot family over there on our show, and anybody that listens to our show when we're live and all that, and Bernadette Free is well known for this. We don't have to say, you know, like, we didn't make up some bullshit like "Let's go," you know, whatever. Like "Let's go." We didn't have a code. We said two words:
"Fuck Trump."
Fuck Trump.
That's all you need.
We didn't have to make up a code.
Yeah, we haven't had a "fuck Trump" challenge in a while.
We don't need
a secret
decoder ring to decode what we want to say.
Well, you know, that's true. And you know, we went through our "fuck Trump" phase, but recently, John, it morphed into "fuck Joe Manchin."
Yeah, Well,
yeah, pretty much.
And let's throw Christian Sinem in there too. I'm tired of this game. I am so tired. We are, you know, and the only out is if we take the Senate by a majority enough to make them irrelevant. And yeah, we have to.
And I'm so sick of the well, don't you know what the Republicans will do if they get the House and the Senate and the president? The minority will have no voice because there won't be no filibuster. I'm like, honey, I was born at night, not last night.
Last night, yeah.
They'll do it anyway.
And Mitch McConnell will ditch the filibuster for any reason or no reason in a New York minute.
Right.
I mean, it'll be bust a filibuster for a flag-burning amendment. It'll be a bust a filibuster for a heartbeat bill. Bust a filibuster for, I don't know, anti-trans medicine for kids. Yeah. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco says, someone who will kill a dog, not a big leap for them to kill people. Avoid that person like the plague. What a nightmare.
One way out of my street, and it's past this house.
And Arnold in PA said, neighbor shot the dog. I won't put into words what I'd do to him. There'd be no tension anymore. Blind liberal and don't shut up. 25 years.
Yep. I'm telling you, it's a very tense situation down at this end. I live at the end of a dead-end road. It's me. Well, that's Kyle, what I got to go through. I got to go through a gauntlet every time I leave here.
Kyle Rittenhouse has proven that it's okay to protect yourself.
Well, there's some substantial white and conservative activity that goes with that.
Well, but I would imagine these two neighbors are both white. Hopefully they'll do a Kyle Rittenhouse on each other.
Well, Roger,
neighborhood know that just because I'm liberal does not mean I own guns. They know damn good well I do.
Roger, one of them has to have a skateboard, though.
Oh, shit, that's the key. Right.
Yep. Yes, that's the dangerous weapon.
It's sad.
Oh, wait, okay, this is too good not to share.
Oh, we got something good?
Yeah, it's not mine, but it's good. You've seen the picture of Stuart Rhodes, I presume. Stewie?
Yes.
Letting an oath keeper lead you into revolution is a lot like getting your firearm safety training from a guy who shot his own eye out.
Yeah,
he did.
Did he really shoot your eye out?
Did he shoot his eye out?
Yeah,
he did.
Probably with a Red Ryder lever action BB gun with a compass in the stock.
Right.
Oh, I hope I hope he gets the maximum. I hope every one of them does. But that. Again,
he's
the small prize. I want to see the.
That's what I was about to say. They're making it out like he's a player. Yeah. He's just another shithead.
He's another pawn in this game. I want to get to the rook. I want to get to the knight. You know, let's talk to see what congressmen and what senators you were talking to.
40 of them didn't certify the election.
Yeah, it's a good start there. Well, I think I see old Cawthorn's being challenged to be able to run again.
That's a beauty. And you know, that's an interesting legal argument too.
Yes, it
by the
is.
And by the way, Matt in San Francisco is on his game this evening. That FJB decal I mentioned. Yeah. Matt says they probably first put up LGB. You know, let's go Brandon. Then someone told him that's really close to LGBT, so they had to quickly change that. And it would not be the first time, because you remember when Dim Leader was getting ready to invade and attack the innocent people of Iraq who had done nothing to us, the first name they came up with it was Operation Iraqi Liberation. Remember that? Oh, yeah, huh? And then they went, oh, fuck, that spells oil. God damn it.
What geniuses they are.
The downright Einsteins. So, and thank you to an anonymous friend of the program. We are now down to $40 to go on the anti-pied pooper challenge. $40 and 2 minutes.
who would not want to participate in a podcast? That's pretty. That's a good challenge to meet.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately, Let's Go Brandon has become insidious. There's a snow club near me where the operator, the CEO of the club, and the snowcat groomer's name is Brandon. So everything he talks about, you know, the trails and this and that, someone finishes their post with "Let's Go Brandon," trying to be fucking cute. But we know what they're really saying. And thankfully, finally, the page said, "Let's remind you what this page was all about. It wasn't about politics. We can argue any day about who we think should run the country, but it shouldn't be on this page." Thankfully, someone said something.
Good, good. Well, Roger just put in the chat the backstory to Stewie and his eye patch. In 1993, he dropped a loaded handgun, and it shot him in the face, blinding him in his left eye. Or, as the news accounts like to say, the gun just went off.
It just went off.
Yeah.
They do it all the time, man.
Freedom!
Oh, man, I'm sitting in the living room or something.
Wolverines!
Hello, start of the weekend with your Alexa routine. Hope you have a good one.
Yep, he shot it out.
Jesus Christ, sometimes, this country. God damn. Kid went and got a job at Wendy's. Now, we were talking about why would Kyrsten Sinema be scared. Story comes out of Phoenix, Arizona. 16-year-old boy got himself probably his first job in his life at Wendy's in Phoenix. And he's in the hospital now because a customer shot him in the face because there wasn't any barbecue sauce.
Oh, geez.
God.
Brian Durham Jr. is in critical condition. Fuck.
Unbelievable.
Did they get the perp?
I hope the fuck so.
After the shooting, the suspect... After the shooting, the suspect got into a vehicle and left the scene.
Oh, geez.
They're large.
They're still looking for the suspect. Damn.
Can't believe that the Wendy's didn't have surveillance
I'm sure
videos of their drive-up went doing that kind of shit.
Hey, speaking of perps, so you guys heard that... now, I don't understand how they can do this shit. You know, remember her? You guys heard about the unfortunately how the young LAPD officer was killed the other day, and now the sheriff's is deciding that they're going to go seek federal charges. I'm like, wait, how is it that the sheriff can bypass the district attorney and talk about bringing this up as for federal charges? Wait, how does that happen?
They're two entirely separate things.
Yeah. That makes no sense. That was the officer who was off-duty officer who was house hunting, I guess, with his girlfriend or wife,
girlfriend,
and got basically mugged and shot at.
Uh huh.
Is my understanding? How's that a federal crime?
Right, here's the best part, because I know what they're trying to do, because we have a seemingly progressive district attorney. And they have been railing against this man since jump because he's trying to overhaul the criminal justice system in L.A. County. And so they're probably trying to say, well, you know, if they catch him, he'll be too soft on them and all that. And I'm like, again, how the fuck are you, who are you to say that you're going to try to make this a federal case? When you are not the charging man, see, now I done got my breath. I done got my sugar all up, y'all.
Hold on. Don't get your sugar diabetes going. isn't that sheriff a maggot?
Fuck yeah, he's a maggot.
Okay, there's your answer.
I know what he's doing, but it's
and now he's gonna complain about how that liberal Joe Biden won't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no matter who prosecutes the people,
it's going to be a mistake anyway. Oh, no.
It's got to be a murder charge, no matter who brings the case. So well, what's going to happen?
It's a federal.
And on the sentence is the judge, assuming the judge even has discretion.
The federal is going to say no.
Probably doesn't have.
Well, unless they're going to claim that they violated his civil rights.
There, that. Precisely.
Then, okay, so then when the cop kills a black person, are they going to bring federal charges against their janky asses?
They do some. They do sometimes. I mean, remember, Derek Chauvin. Was busted and convicted in state court in Minnesota, and then he turned around and entered a federal plea to violating George Floyd's civil rights criminally.
But didn't they? But shouldn't he be brought up on state charges first before?
Not necessarily.
These motherfuckers. But well, what I'm saying is, you know, how dare they? I mean, as many times, and you know, not to take away from that poor young man being murdered in the absolute prime of his life, and the fact that he graduated, you know, it was like the valedictorian or something, summa cum laude or something from Cal Berkeley, which stands to reason. Why the fuck would you become an LAPD officer? You know. You went to one of the most liberal schools in the state of California, and you're LAPD? Yikes! But,
Keep in mind that Berkeley has John Yoo on its faculty now, Tracy.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Law.
So Tracy, do you think that the ultimate goal here of the maggot sheriff and his brethren is to make killing a police officer a hate crime?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make it exactly equivalent to, murdering, a lynching of an African-American.
Blue Lives Matter, y'all.
Yeah.
Blue Lives Matter, y'all.
Or a Muslim person or a Jewish person, you know, and it's the same exact thing if a police officer gets killed.
Was he even in his uniform when he got shot?
No, he was not.
So how did the perps know that he was an officer?
Right.
That part.
You have to have intent in order for it to be a hate crime. It has to be a specific intent to deprive somebody of their civil rights.
He was not in uniform, so yeah.
Right. That's not a hate crime. There's no basis.
No. Wait, you know that. I know that. We know that. Everybody knows that because we got some sense, motherfucker. We got motherfucking sense.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, who was the white girl coming out to my cab?
Uh-oh.
She's running away.
She caught you at the perfect time, Tracy.
She's running away, Tracy. Scared her.
I'm sorry. No, it wasn't a white girl. It was a blonde Asian woman, so my bad.
Blonde Asian
woman. Okay.
Is there a movie about that? Oh, Rich Crazy Asians or something.
Crazy Rich Asians. I can't stand you people. Oh, so yeah, no, I'm just.
Are you? Can't.
I can't. When I heard that, it instantly infuriated me because I just think of all the black men and women and people that have been killed at the hands of the LAPD, and you know, and nobody was screaming, "Oh, it's a federal crime," and blah 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 blah, and civil rights violation, yada yada yada. Oh, shit. Hold on. You got it. Yes? Where are we headed?
UCLA campus.
We're on UCLA campus, sir. The what? The dispensary case placed by Whole Foods? Okay. Not a problem.
Be careful, girl.
Wait, are you? Did you call the cab or did somebody call for? Because they said it was a woman. Is it? Okay, you gotta close the door, sir. So y'all listen to all this, right?
Mm-hmm. Getting it all.
Okay, so you said there's a dispensary place across from the Whole Foods by UCLA. Yeah, is it on Westwood Boulevard or Winbrook?
He's looking for a dispensary?
Okay.
Yeah.
That part.
Trace is going to the dispensary.
Okay.
Why didn't she just do a delivery from the dispensary?
John Bridival, I know you're hot in your fist, Trace. A person can take a cab to go to the dispensary. I know you are hurt.
He can't do that.
It's a cruel world, John Bridival.
Yes.
It is an absolute.
You mean you don't have dispensaries down there, John?
Rick Stack, Billable, you know damn well you ain't got no dispensaries in Texas.
I'm sorry.
Billable. You're just being shitty. Now quit that.
That's a 10-yard penalty on me. Taunting.
It's on me.
Oh, geez. Sorry, John.
Speaking of which, we haven't talked in a while. What the hell happened to Iowa in the bowl game?
Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell happened. They got conservative at the end. They should have gone for it on, like, 4th-and-1, even though their center was out. And, you know, at worst, they turned it over on, like, the 43-yard line and, you know, forced Kentucky to get a touchdown anyway, and they ended up winning, you know? So, I don't know. They looked good for a while. They fell behind, came back, got a lead, and I thought it was good, and they just, like, you know, gave it up there. They
disintegrated. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, oh, like, your team.
Yeah, they're playing.
My team, too. My team laid down dead.
But the weird, speaking of, like, calling a nothing play on, like, third down, like a drop play, 3rd-and-23, that actually worked for the Oakland Raiders against San Diego, if you guys saw that game.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That was a crazy game. And then San Diego made, like, 6 straight fourth and tens or 4th and 12.
Yeah, 4th and over 10. Yeah, that's an all-time record, I do believe.
Tie the game up?
Mm-hmm.
That was the best game I've seen in a long time.
It was crazy. Crazy way to end the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt bad for the Chargers. Sure.
Well, I need to send thanks to our dear friend, sister Cynthia in the Bay Area. Cynthia, thank you. We are down to $15 to go on the Anti-Pied Pooper Challenge. And if it's met, we will be down to only $400 to go to finish the week. That means all of Wednesday will be done and $200 of Thursday will be done. And that leaves today and $100 of Thursday going into Monday. So, thank you so much, Cynthia. Thank you. Cynthia's been such a blessing to me as I go through these changes, and it's wonderful to have really great mentorship. It means the world. So thank you. And that being the case, Tracy.
I just have one thing to say. So
yes, ma'am.
This is the first time that I've ever done this, so this is going to be a $25 Tracy is driving somebody in her taxi to a dispensary challenge.
Oh my! Well, that would finish up the current challenge, and it would put. $35 more toward finishing off Thursday and leave us at $65 to go on Thursday. So thank you, Tracy. If somebody out there would like to match $25, the Tracy's driving someone to a dispensary in her cab challenge is on the table.
I mean, this is only in L.A. Only in L.A.
I can only guess what you're going to get for a tip.
That's not
Yeah, it don't matter. Not for Little Miss Miss Drug Tested.
It's maybe only in L.A.
And I just got drug tested yesterday.
No,
yeah, there you go. All right.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to mute myself so you can do the end of your show, Robin.
All right, thank you, Tracy. You have a lovely weekend, dear. And so, this has been a dandy good conversation. Thank you, Gary. Gary just finished up the challenge, the Anti-Pied Pooper Challenge. That means there's $10 to go on Tracy's challenge. And like I said, that'll get us down to $65 to go on Thursday, and then just we'll be dealing with today come Monday, as well as Monday. So thank you, Gary. Thanks
a ton.
Pardon?
I'll throw 25.
Oh, you got the 25? Okay, well then we're down to $55 to go to finish Thursday. Thank you a ton. And wait a minute, maybe not. Tracy, Arnold just jumped in. Challenge met, so we're down to 59. We're down to $30 to go on yesterday. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you, Billable. Thanks to each and every one of you who have responded this evening. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you. To our all-volunteer staff, thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks, Ferg, for the Brussels sprouts. Damn, them things didn't last. Man, they're good. I think it's a secret recipe, too. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please stay safe. Get your booster. I trust you've got your vaccines. Wear your mask. Get a good, find yourself a good couple of KN95s. Use nitrile gloves if you think that, well, I think it helps.
Don't be afraid to disinfect your car.
Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, according to Paul from Parts Unknown.
If you can find them disinfecting air freshness.
And if anybody comes toward you, for God's sakes, if anybody comes toward you saying, our children in Virginia need to learn about the first debate between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.